Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday. It is February 12th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the region prepared last night for round two of this winter weather blast that brought some snow to the area early this morning and will bring sleet and rain and freezing temperatures later today. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy declared a state of emergency that began at midnight. Murphy said Monday the northwest part of the state was bracing for up to 8 inches of snow. The northern and central parts of the state are expected to get snow as well as a wintry mix, while southern New Jersey is likely to see sleet turning into rain. Morning snow and freezing rain will give way to rain from south to north during the morning and afternoon. They're saying the morning commute is probably going to be worse than later this afternoon.
Because it's more a wintry mix, right?
Right, but yeah. We could see some of that freeze a little bit later. In northern areas, icing could linger into the evening. Temperatures will gradually climb, ending up at about 38 in Philadelphia around dinner time, and then holding closer to the freezing mark as the night goes on. And then also up in the Lehigh Valley, they're going to be a little bit colder there.
Preston and I are watching some dramatic footage this morning of a windshield being scraped.
Man, you know, Catherine Scott, you gotta love her on 6ABC, but they always send her out to do the here's what it's like
to scrape
while
your
it's not snowing
windshield.
And maybe getting a little bit wet.
Listen, I sounded like an old lady last night because they had already called for Jace's school to be a 2-hour delay and they've already canceled it. And I'm like, there is nothing on the ground. And I remember as a kid, like my dad having to go outside
sure.
and shovel a walkway
yeah.
down the driveway so we could either get in the car or we could walk to the bus stop. Like, and I'm like, there's nothing out there.
You can't help but sound in my day.
I
but,
know.
You know, but it's all part of the deal.
Yeah, over the years there have been accidents and things like things have happened when they've gone maybe we should double we should
of
think
course.
That again.
And
of
you
course.
Can yeah, you can certainly understand that. Yeah. I am happy to report, by the way, Preston, that conical shaped thing that a windshield scraper on Instagram, you know, I'm a big sucker for Instagram stuff.
Yeah.
Works like a charm.
No kidding.
Really good.
You
what
go
is
in circ-
it?
So it looks like a cone.
Uh-huh.
It has got a little bit of handle on the top. It's just round. But you do in circular motions around your windshield.
Yeah.
Clean that mother right off.
Oh, nice. I want to see this. So a winter weather advisory is in effect until as late as 6 o'clock for nearly the entire area away from the immediate coast, although points south, including Philadelphia, could be released from this sooner as conditions improve. And a winter storm warning is in effect north of the Pennsylvania Turnpike until 7 p.m. Tuesday, as snow and an icy mix will linger a little bit longer there. A high school girls basketball team was caught on camera using racial slurs on their team bus. Some of its star players and the coach are suspended. Pope John Paul II High School started a new week after a weekend of controversy swirling around a video posted on social media by a member of its girls varsity basketball team that included racially offensive lyrics from a popular rap song. The Archdiocese of Philadelphia found it violated its policy of acceptable use of technology and determined that each player in the video on the team bus and their head coach serve a one-game suspension. They all missed Saturday's playoff semifinals. Marlene Wood says that she's not surprised and that she tried to head off what she says were problems brewing over the past couple of years. In 2017, a group of students were disciplined after posting a racially charged video with offensive language. Wood claims her granddaughter was mistreated by the same coach, now suspended. She was the only African-American player on the girls' basketball team, and she says that her granddaughter felt like she didn't belong. In that case, the Archdiocese determined that there was no discrimination against Wood's granddaughter. She has since left the team. Safety has become a leading controversy. Has become the leading conversation at LaSalle University following several frightening incidents involving students. At least two were robbed at gunpoint.
Wow.
The recent spike in crime led to a big meeting Monday night for students to voice their concerns. About 2,000 students signed a petition demanding a meeting about their concerns about crime and safety. University officials said over 300 students attended the meeting. A university spokeswoman reports that there have been 7 incidents near the campus since January 1st. 4 robberies and 3 thefts or attempted thefts.
LaSalle is just like a temple in many ways. It's basically all open around, and it's in, you know, there's you buttress right up against, you know, city streets and stuff on certain parts of the campus. And
yeah, but what I didn't know about LaSalle is they don't have their own police force like Temple or University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I've heard good things about. I was just, in fact, I was just talking to a Temple student about the the response time of the Temple police, and then it's their own police is really good, apparently.
They have security, right? And yeah. the security takes care of anything on campus, but off campus...
It's the police.
It's the police, yeah.
Well, so while the incident did not occur on campus, the university has tripled the number of surveillance cameras, and through a grant, they have hired a Philadelphia police officer to patrol the campus from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. every day.
It's a big campus.
The university sends students text alerts on incidents of criminal activity near the university to keep them informed. Monday night's meeting seemed to do little to put students at ease. Students left saying that there was no solution. University officials are asking students to join a public safety advisory group that will look to see what else they can be doing to help address concerns about crime and safety.
Would it be weird to look into possibly packs of wild dogs?
Might be weird.
What are you going to use to protect yourself from them?
Good point. Okay. I didn't think it through.
No, you shouldn't overlook every.
Right. I know. And you can work some things.
Sure.
We've done this circle before, Steve. Then you bring in the lions and then the elephants and then the mice.
Then you're ordering mice online. yeah. Well, I've been there before. Gosh, I've seen it a million times.
It's sports this morning. The Flyers lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins last night at the center. Matt Murray made a career-high 50 saves, and Sidney Crosby had a goal and an assist to lead the Penguins to a 4-1 win.
Wasn't for a lack of trying. They threw 50 shots at him, man.
They had a franchise record in the second period for number of shots.
Wow.
Why don't you let me get to that?
Wow.
Whoa.
Well, let's see what shows
up. You wrote it.
Let's see what shows up in sports tomorrow.
Shut up!
God. Just making a comment.
Jake Voracek scored for the Flyers.
A comment that you wrote!
Who lost for just the second time in 11 games. The game included a franchise record, 28 shots for the Flyers.
Oh, that's fascinating. What an interesting set.
Second period.
Poor dude's getting torn up for his own copy.
They now stand 8 games behind the Penguins. The Flyers are on the road tonight with the game in Minnesota against the Wild, and the puck drops at 8 o'clock. The Sixers, who have won 2 games in a row and 4 of their last 6, are at home tonight with the game against the Boston Celtics. The two teams are only a game apart in the standings.
Wow.
They're in 4th and 5th place in the Eastern Conference, with the Sixers just a game behind the Indiana Pacers for the 3rd spot. Tip-off for the National League televised game is at 8 o'clock. And in baseball, every team in the bigs will have pitchers and catchers report by tomorrow. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are still free agents. According to former Mets general manager Jim Duquette, the Yankees made Machado an offer of $220 million over 7 or 8 years. And for Harper, the top 3 teams believed to be in contention are the San Francisco Giants, the San Diego Padres, and the Philadelphia Phillies. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very, very much, Kathy. Welcome, everyone. We have a day planned for us. We want you to make sure you take it nice and safe. It's not too crazy right now, but when it gets in the thick of traffic later on this morning, it could get a little bit ugly. So just be aware of your surroundings on your way in this morning. A few things going on today. So we have an interesting thing happening with Tattoos Day. So we have an artist named Chris Shockley who is coming in. Now, he is from Ink Master Season 11.
Yeah.
Empire Tattoo is where he works out of, and he's going to be tattooing Jim. And mm-hmm. we have the tattoo convention coming to town. And
biggest one in the world.
All these great tattoo artists are coming into our area. And we have a special chance for you to win a tattoo on Friday morning from, and as it says here, one of the world's most prolific tattoo artists, a gentleman named Clean Rock One. He's from Ink Masters and Golden Skull Tattoo in Las Vegas.
Wow.
See, Troy knows all of these people.
Yes.
You know, like Troy is, you know, the owner of
Philadelphia Eddie's
621. Mm-hmm. But he has created all of these tattoo conventions that are all over the country.
Yep.
And as a result, knows all of these guys personally, and Clean is going to come in on Friday.
So if you're interested in getting a tattoo from one of the absolute best in the world, then here's what you do. We're going to give this away. Text the word tattoo to 39333. Keep in mind, we want to have a Preston and Steve theme in there somewhere. That's part of the deal.
It's a trade-off. It's not so much that.
So, but you have to be able to come in on Friday, and is Clean going to do it here?
He's going
to
do it here. So that's the thing. Like, this isn't transferable. It's not like, oh, can I just get it done at the tattoo convention on Saturday? No, it's got to be done here on Friday morning. So if you can't come in on Friday, then don't text to win.
Yeah, and what's the what about size wise and all that stuff? Obviously, you're not going to get your whole back done or anything. Something that can be done in an hour, right?
Well, I would say, you know, 2 hours. You know, nothing that's going to, you know, we're not doing 6 hour pieces here.
Take a look at some of the, you've seen some of the tattoos that we've had done on the show here, and think about that size. Yeah. That's what we're looking for.
Like a monkey between the nipples.
Monkey between the nipples.
So, text word tattoo, which by the way is spelled T A T T O O, to 39333, and we'll have your chance to do that. We'll find out who wins a little bit later on this morning. Now, we also have Dunkin' Donuts. Stopping in today.
Yeah.
We're going to meet and eat. Duncan is coming in. Gentlemen, they are bringing what we've talked about in the past few days, the heart-shaped, bling-sprinkled cookie dough and brownie batter double-filled donuts.
Yeah.
So they will be here.
I haven't tried it yet.
Kathy and I will smell them for you.
I can't wait to smell them. Yes. It's going to be great.
We're not eating. So we're on the no-eat diet.
Yeah.
But they'll be in, and we'll have your chance to win some goodies from those guys this morning. So listen up for your chance to grab some stuff. So we have these things and more, and we're just, essentially, we're going to be your company on the way in this morning. That's what we do here on the President Steve Show, especially when you're distracted by all the traffic and the weather and all that stuff. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. Some entertainment stories and a stupid question is what await you. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. Go to WMMR.com to score $10 lift tickets and for details on how to register your sled to compete for cash and prizes. From WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Red, red, red. Is she seeing red? Well, she wants to this Valentine's Day. Give her one of Steven Singer's famous Valentine's Day red 24-karat gold dip roses starting at only $59 with free shipping. A gift that lasts a lifetime. Only at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. So the stupid question this morning is a pair of tickets to see Jim Florentine, Rich Falls, Robert Kelly, and Ron Bennington. They're going to be at the Keswick Theater coming up on Friday, March 8th. So I'm going to do a Black History Month question. Our buddy Craig sent us these. Craig, of course, is a big time comic aficionado. Here is a really good question.
All right,
which member of the Avengers hails from Philadelphia?
Which member of the Avengers hails from Philadelphia?
Here's a clue. He's black. 215-263 WMMR's Black History Month. So
yes.
There is a question. That narrows it down a little bit. But which member of the Avengers hails from Philadelphia? Did not know this. I love that stuff. Call right now, 215-263-WMMR. And while you're calling in, I'll mention some birthdays that are being celebrated today on Tuesday, February 12th. That is Josh Brolin's birthday today. Speaking of the Avengers, Thanos himself is turning 51 today.
And Cable.
And Cable
gets
as well.
Gets to play two characters. Like Chris Evans got two Marvel characters.
Yeah, yeah. He was in Deadpool 2 as Cable. Yeah. So many great movies over the years, man. American Gangster, No Country for Old Men, Milk, The Goonies,
yeah.
And so on.
When you see him back then, he looks like he's 9 years old because he's now such a, you know, macho, grizzled sort of looking guy, especially his Cable and everything. But for Christ's sake.
He was kind of macho in the Goonies.
He was macho.
Yeah, that's right.
He had a spider bike.
Yeah, he's really grown on me. That guy, he's a great actor. He's 51 today. Christina Ricci, who is from The Addams Family and The Ice Storm and Monster, a whole bunch of movies.
Yes.
39 today.
Wednesday Addams, right?
Yep. It's Arsenio Hall's birthday, too.
Wow.
Casey wrote a fan letter to him.
The only fan letter I ever wrote.
The only fan letter
I love that guy.
I forget the legend. Did you?
I never heard back.
But did you get to bring this up to him when we talked to him?
I think you did.
I think I did.
How could you let that pass?
I didn't realize how bad the show was.
But you know what? The thing I liked most about that show was he had a really awesome band.
He did.
They had top-notch musicians in that band. They were pretty aggressive. He's 64 today. And I have information on him coming up in Music News, in the Entertainment Report in a moment. Actor Michael Ironside.
One of the classic villains. Well, villains, he's also played good guys.
Mm. Who is he a classic? Oh, in Total Recall,
Scanners. Yeah, he's
Scanners. That's he right.
Top Gun? Top Gun. He's a good guy in Top Gun.
Yeah, he was Jester was his call sign because you had Viper and Jester.
Yeah.
And Tom Skerritt was Viper.
Stinky.
And Stinky Pants.
Why do I get Stinky Pants? Shut up.
He was also in Free Willy and Starship Troopers. He's
I love Free Willy.
Me too, Kathy. Do you remember?
From the corner of the room.
When he put his hand up and tickled his belly.
And here's a story that's going to warm your heart. That killer whale died of starvation when they were trying to return it to the ocean.
Kathy, do you remember the Native American prayer that they would say so he could jump over that? He wouldn't be able to jump over the jetty without them saying this thing.
What was it?
Sanana ayun.
Yeah.
Sanana. Hey. Killer whale.
Wait a minute. Say it again, Casey.
Sanana ayun ayesis.
Sanana.
Check that.
Ayun ayesis. Okay.
Sanana.
I never saw that movie. I know.
Free Willy screening party.
Wait a minute. Nell knows it.
Where are y'all gone? What?
What was the big song?
Killer whale gone away.
Killer whale gone away.
Michael so tight.
Killer whale so tight.
The Michael Jackson song.
Michael Jackson song.
Yeah.
Hold me.
That's it, okay.
There's inspiring to write the song. I thought about all the sad orcas.
All right, so whose birthday was it?
It was Orca, Free Willy's birthday.
No. Oh. No, Michael Ironside was in Free Willy. I'm sorry, I never saw the movie. He's 69 today. China Phillips of Wilson Phillips is also 51 like Josh Brolin.
And was not in Free Willy.
No, I had a thing for her.
Yes.
I thought she was very, very pretty.
Short cropped blonde hair.
Yeah.
And she was in, if you ever see Bridesmaids, Preston, they all come out at the end, Wilson Phillips.
Do they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. See, I it's one of those movies.
It's one of those, yeah. Like Free Willy.
And what was the other member of Wilson Phillips? She used to live in Maniac.
Carney Wilson.
Yes. Yeah, used to live in Maniac.
She had her stomach stable, lost a whole bunch of weight, or she had a gastric bypass of some sort.
She got it early on when they first started doing it.
Then she put a lot of weight back on and took it back off.
Yep. It's also Judy Blume's birthday today, the author.
Classic children's, or tween author, I guess, right?
Yeah,
that'd be her realm. When I was working in the B. Dalton bookstore in the Bayshore Mall, God, those books would fly off the shelves.
Really popular, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Judy Blume is 81 today. Steve, Joe Don Baker.
Joe Don Baker, the original Walking Tall.
Buford T. Pusser,
yeah.
He was in Fletch, right?
He was in...
He was the chief.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's the whammer in The Natural.
Yeah. He was also in Mars Attacks and Tomorrow Never Dies. So, but he's 83 years old today. I always liked him. And then the last birthday I saw is director Darren Aronofsky.
Yes.
Great movies like The Wrestler and Black Swan and Mother, I never saw.
Which has got terrible reviews.
Did he was right?
No. He was dating Jennifer Lawrence for a long time.
Yeah, during that time.
During that time.
Mother, yeah.
Mother.
So he's 50 today. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question. Which member of the Avengers hails from Philadelphia? And I will go to Patrick, see if we can get the answer. Hey, Patrick, good morning.
Good morning.
So who on the Avengers is from Philadelphia?
Would that be James Rhodey, a.k.a. War Machine?
Yeah, Rhodey.
What?
You got it right. Hang on, Patrick. Got a pair of tickets for you to see Jim Florentine, Rich Voss, Robert Kelly, and Ron Bennington on Friday, March 8th at the Keswick Theater in Glenside. Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com, and you can click concerts, at WMMR.com for complete details. You know what? And that would have made sense because who originally played? I'm blanking on the
answer. Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard, who lives around here.
Yes.
From Philadelphia, did play Rhodey in that first movie.
In the original
Iron Man.
Yeah, and in the original comic series, he always ate a Panera, Kathy. in Plymouth Meeting because it's where we saw Terrence Howard. We saw him at the Blind Store.
No, the Light Store.
The Light Store in that same strip mall.
Mm-hmm. Who saw him at Guitar Center? Was that me?
That was you. I saw him come on the show. He said yes and then never came.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, listen, it's a big traveling distance from Plymouth Meeting to here.
I liked him in that role. I mean, I love Don Cheadle. He's great, but he could have been a good war machine
absolutely.
As well. He would have just, you know.
Absolutely.
Speaking of movies, Roma and The Favourite won big at the British Academy of Film and Television Arts Awards on Sunday. That's also known as the BAFTAs, which is the equivalent of the Oscars in the UK.
And now we present the Pompous Award.
BAFTAs are actually, though, a lot of times will nominate movies that elude American audiences that, mm-hmm. you know, that are actually really good, that kind of get looked over.
Yeah. I'll just run down the short list of some of the winners. So Best Film went to Roma. Case, I know you hated that movie.
I watched a few minutes of it, and everyone was telling me how staggeringly boring it was, so I just checked out.
I have no real desire to see it.
Yeah.
It's
sort of a slice of life,
it's scripted,
right?
Scripted, though?
Yes.
Those are actors?
Those are actors. I wasn't sure if it was maybe...
cartoon?
No, it's definitely not a cartoon. If it had something to do with... the director's mother, Alfonso Cuarón's
Who, by the way, who directed and co-wrote Gravity.
Yeah.
So talk about a different kind of movie.
Well, it won. It beat out Black Klansman, The Favorite, Green Book, and A Star is Born. Nick, I bring this up for you. The winner of the documentary BAFTA is Free Solo.
That's cool.
Tell me about that movie.
I love that movie. It's one of my top five from 2018. It's really well done, and you want to see a study into a different type of a mind, go see Free Solo. Alex Honnold is nuts.
It's about free climbers, about him, right?
And he climbs El Cap in Yosemite, and he does it without ropes, and it's just a really compelling movie.
Wow. I saw it as well, and Nick, the guy, you got the people getting the shots.
Oh, my God. Right?
And, but this guy, since birth, was sort of built this way because it was in the family as well.
I'm just afraid this is he's going to die this way.
But he's not, and that's the amazing thing. He just goes for it.
It's much of a study as into his personality as it is into his accomplishments.
Yeah, he more than likely will die doing that.
Well, the family was wealthy to begin with because the grandfather invented the clapper. So,
wow,
and. It's a bitch. You can't do it when you're using your hands to climb freaking El Capitan.
He's clapper money.
Then Best Animated Film, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won that.
You loved it.
It's a really, really good movie. Best Director went to Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. So it won the big 1-2 there. Leading Actress went to Olivia Colman for The Favorite.
Yes.
Then you have Leading Actor going to Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody.
I'm wondering, Preston, with all these accolades, is it possible that he pulls out the Oscar for Best Actor? Because I actually would have considered that sort of a long shot.
Me too.
But maybe not.
There's so much widespread acceptance of it that
award after award like this from left field, it certainly draws favor from the voters.
Yep. Supporting actress was Rachel Weisz for The Favorite, and supporting actor is Mahershala Ali for Green Book. So the BAFTAs are in the books now. Oscars up next. When are those? They're in March, or are they this
March.
Month?
March. Yeah, March.
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 Let's see. What else I have for you? We'll start with this. Reports say that the staff of Wendy Williams' TV show does not want her to come back. And actually, they feel relieved without her there.
That's the problem.
Oh, jeez.
Apparently the show is also doing better in the ratings without her.
Oh, my God.
She's known to be a top-level diva.
Yes. Has always been known as that.
According to Radar Online, a source said that employees from the show hope that the TV host and her husband, Kevin Hunter, never return because work is much better when the couple is not around.
Well, Nick Cannon hosted it for a bit, right? Is he continuing on with that?
You know what? I'm not sure of that status, Steve. The source explained it has been like a vacation having guest hosts.
The greatest thing ever, but we miss you, Wendy.
Everyone is laughing and smiling and working together. We all had gotten so used to walking on eggshells around Wendy and Kevin that we forgot what a fun work environment was.
That doesn't bode well for them.
No.
So wait, she's not going to be the host of the Wendy Williams show anymore?
Well, she's been sick.
Yeah, I know. But
she was actually sick, and then she had to extend it. Now, yeah. A lot of the belief is the extension has to do with contractual things and stuff like that. But her husband is the producer of the show. So there you go.
The source continued saying, at first, the staff was worried about losing their jobs. Now it looks like the show can survive without Wendy, and a lot of people don't want her to return.
My problem with Wendy is that she took the, how you doing, from the Friends, and that's her catchphrase.
Try to turn that into her phrase.
Oh, really? Sorry, man.
Yeah, that's
can't do that.
Was done a while back. Meanwhile, the source added that Wendy's diva behavior dragged down her employees. The source explained there were so many unwritten rules, but working with Wendy, you couldn't contact her directly. Only certain staff members could actually talk with her.
Well, and it was reflected also in the way they responded to her sickness. They sent her a bouquet of dead rats.
According to the...
Within there was a subtle message.
According to the source, Hunter was the source of a lot of drama on the set.
Ah.
And the source said there's no one was allowed to disagree with him. It was a nightmare work environment. You never knew what mood Wendy or Kevin were going to be in.
Wow.
So, yeah.
But they said towards the... When she finally did get sick for the first time, they had reduced the onset whippings by 25%.
Okay.
Well. So they were going in the right direction.
Kim Kardashian has opened up about a sentimental piece of jewelry that survived her 2016 Paris robbery. She posted a 2007 photo of herself wearing her diamond cross, along with the caption that says, "So this necklace that I have on is a diamond cross from Jacob." Who's a jeweler, I guess.
All right. And, we're supposed to know that.
And it was the first piece of jewelry that I bought when I got my first check.
From my porn movie.
She said, when I was at robbed, this was taken from me.
When I was at robbed. Maybe that's the hashtag. Hashtag at robbed.
However, on the way out, the robbers dropped one piece of jewelry in the street, and this was it. It's very sentimental to me. Just wanted to share.
Listen, I have no doubt that, you know, that was a horribly traumatic experience, you know. So what's the word on the people that did it? They caught a number of them. Did they catch them all?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I do not remember.
Because it was based on some inside information, and also they had seen, I guess there had been all sorts of social media posts saying where they were, and they followed up on those as well.
You think someday there'll be a movie, a story of her life? Because, you know what, if you have something like that in it, that actually would be a pivotal, dramatic moment.
That is a dramatic moment. Story. Yeah. They have talked about it, and the person that they've talked about playing her is Liam Neeson.
Yes!
My name is Kim Kardashian. I'm a famous butt model. I'm going to be going out for a little while. I'm going to leave my jewelry here.
You know,
your specific set of skills involves
my butt grooming, going la la la, and oh baby, and chewing my gum and cracking it.
on that post, Preston, that you were reading from Kim Kardashian, her sister Khloe commented, and she wrote, "You are very sentimental to me, which is nice." And then same with the juicy sweats, same with the Chanel bag, same. Is she being silly about being sentimental about the juicy bag and the sweats?
Same with the Chanel bag. I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows with that complex
family? Guys, when you got your first porn check, did you buy something sentimental?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I bought a flesh doll.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. Excellent. Yeah.
I do actually have a little piece of sentimental. I have a sentimental piece that I carry with me all the time.
What is it?
It's the key that I got when I first got hired at Y100. It was the key to the building, and I still have
it. Shut up.
Yeah.
With you?
Yeah.
Let me see that thing. I would like to see that. That's pretty. That's cool.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Can I see that?
I remember this key. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We all had those. Yeah. Yes, that was for the door at Y100.
No way.
Yeah,
that's kind of
old
neat.
School key.
That's kind of neat, Case.
Yeah. So I do.
There's a ring on here too. What's this ring?
That's the ring that my wedding ring that I got too fat for.
Okay.
One of these days, I'll fit back into that thing, like my old wedding dress.
Goals. That's my wedding ring. All right, please place the wedding ring on your husband's keychain.
It fit when we had it sized.
Yeah. Listen, you'll be back there in no time.
Not only did I grow into it, but I grew out of it. Yeah. I'm a big boy.
Stocky.
All right. Moving on. Reports say that Bill Cosby's family has not visited him in prison since he's been behind bars.
What?
Yeah.
The not even the missus?
Say that the reason the family hasn't visited the TV icon is because he doesn't want them to see him in that position.
Oh, okay.
So he's
prone on the floor.
Yeah, doggy style.
Please don't do this. This is embarrassing.
Andrew Wyatt, a spokesperson for the 81-year-old, said that Cosby.
That's one pudding pop I could have done without.
Doesn't want nor expect his wife Camille of their or their four daughters to visit him.
He's allowed to make obviously phone calls, right?
I would think yeah. Yeah, he explained. Bill doesn't. He doesn't want to have them in that environment. Why put them in that position? To make it turn into something, some form of a circus. I was recently moved to the general population. We talked about that a few days ago, and it said that he's getting along, very well with his fellow inmates. The legally blind TV legend has reportedly selected inmates who help him get around the area.
Well, they are trying to break him a little bit, Preston, because they want him to ride in the prison rodeo.
Oh, jeez. So. It's like stir crazy.
Just like stir crazy.
Just like that. You never know. All right.
Where's my sweater?
How about this? Meghan Markle, her father, Thomas, now, before we head down the same road, has revealed a 5-page letter that she sent him.
Oh.
According to the Daily Mail, Markle wrote the letter to her dad in August of last year, and the letter read, "Your actions have broken my heart into a million pieces, not simply because you have manufactured such unnecessary and unwarranted pain, but by making the choice to not tell the truth as you are puppeteered in this, something I will never understand." She also noted how her dad didn't contact her after he claimed that he was, quote, frozen out by the royals. She continued saying, "I have only ever loved, protected, and defended you, offering whatever financial support I could, worrying about your health. So the week of the wedding to hear that you were having a heart attack through a tabloid was horrifying. I called and texted. I begged you to accept help. We sent someone to your home, and instead of speaking to me to accept this or any help, you stopped answering your phone and chose to only speak to tabloids."
Hmm.
She said, "Please stop exploiting my relationship with my husband. I realize you are so far down this rabbit hole that you feel or may feel there's no way out. But if you take a moment to pause, I think you'll see that being able to live with a clear conscience is more valuable than any payment in the world."
So who released this letter?
He did.
He did.
So this is her ripping him to shreds. And I don't think it's a mea culpa on his part at all. Well, I don't know. There's no comment that comes along with this that I've read in this story. So I don't know if he's saying, "Look, I've been bad and here's what she had to say.
I've been a bad boy."
I don't know.
How much did he get paid for it?
Yeah, right.
He sold it to the Inquirer.
That, you know what?
Probably.
Well, the Daily Mail ran it, so maybe he sold it. Dude, come on, man.
Yeah, the Daily Mail has purchased stories in the past.
So
again, we've said many times, do you want to patch up the relationship with your daughter? Go off the grid.
Yeah.
Stop appearing in the press. Take a long break and maybe give it some time and maybe you can connect.
Is she a princess? I don't know. How does that work?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's a princess, yeah. So, who knows, man, but we'll see if there's a follow-up to this. Hey, rumor has it that Angelina Jolie is pursuing Sean Penn.
No!
In order to get revenge on Brad Pitt and Charlize Theron dating. I don't believe this.
I don't believe it for a second.
Not at all. This is according to NW, whatever that is. Jolie has been flirting up a storm with the actor in an effort to get him. A source said they've met at least twice since Brad and Charlize's dating
news. They met, huh?
Came out.
Sean Penn
says they were already pretty close, but they've decided to ramp things up since their exes got together. According to Gossip Cop, I stopped.
You meant it as in the rooster, please. It's the number one magazine.
There's no C at the end of
that. Farms.
According to Gossip Cop. This story is not true. Brad Pitt's rep says that he's never dated Theron. Any rep for Jolie says that she's not interested in dating anyone and is focusing on work with her children. So I don't
know. But, right now, Pitt is macking on Jennifer Aniston. I would hope, because he went to the birthday party.
You think he's macking on that?
I don't really, but I want to live with his fantasy.
Because
I did like that original pairing.
Here's our big story of the morning.
Yeah, all right.
No way.
Coming to America 2 might actually be happening.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
A sequel to the 1988 smash hit comedy has been in the works for a few years now, and the last update we had came in 2017 with the news that Black-ish creator Kenya Barris was writing the script for Jonathan Levine directing, but Levine is no longer involved. Deadline reports that Hustle and Flow filmmaker Craig Brewer is now on board to direct, with Eddie Murphy reprising his role as Akeem, a pampered African prince who, in the original movie, came to America to find a self-empowered wife different from the fawning individuals of his own country. So,
hey, it's Kunta Kinte!
So he has, Eddie, as you hear him right there, has actually said that he's on board. It's definitely happening. So Brewer helmed both Hustle and Flow and the 2011 Footloose remake. But recently, he's been directing a number of episodes of the TV series Empire.
You know what you need, though? John Landis was the director on Coming to America.
He was.
Right. And okay. Despite, now, he and Eddie can sometimes have, you know, butt heads in the past. Butted heads, I guess. But that from that comes this wonderful stuff. But and even Eddie Murphy says, you know, he's the director. But he's... So much of the humor you enjoy in Coming to America comes from Landis's vision.
Yeah, so that's the only thing. I would like for it to be all of the original, Landis included. What's the chick up to? His
right.
Wife.
She's going to be in it. So there are ideas that they might all be back. So anyhow, Brewer has an established relationship with Eddie,
right,
having just directed the comedy icon in the upcoming film called Dolomite Is My Name. And in a statement, Murphy praised Brewer's work on that movie. He said, after many years of anticipation, I'm thrilled that Coming to America 2 is officially moving forward. We've assembled a great team that will be led by Craig Brewer, who just did an amazing job on Dolomite. And I am looking forward to bringing all these classic and beloved characters back to the big screen.
So,
which that statement seems to suggest.
Yeah.
That the original cast will be back. Arsenio Hall, Sherry Headley is her name.
John Amos
and James Earl Jones. Possibly, so that could be cool.
It'd be fun.
So the story, the rumor is, we'll find Akeem learning that he has a long-lost son and he must return to America once more to meet his unlikely heir to the throne. I don't know where that would have happened.
Yes.
I don't know when and where he would have had an estranged son, but the hope is to start filming sometime this year, which would be welcome news to both fans of the original and Murphy himself, who has been trying to get the film off the ground for a while.
Because in the original, he was very, he was not sleeping around when he got here.
Well, not when he got to America, but with his bathing girls,
right,
he would have his way with them.
Huh. Yeah.
At least his dad asked.
It was suggested, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Listen, I don't know how they'll work that out.
It's cool. I hope if they do it, you know, hope for the best.
Yep, exactly. The ratings for the 2019 Grammy Awards were up a tiny bit from last year. According to the New York Post, the show, which was hosted by Alicia Keys, scored 19.9 million viewers, up slightly from last year's 19.8 million viewers. Last year's show, which was hosted by James Corden, came very close to the lowest ratings CBS has ever received for a Grammys telecast, which actually isn't that much off, 19.04 million viewers in 2009. So
it stays in the same range.
Yeah, so
what it does.
It's fairly flat,
yeah.
So they did pretty decent. This is interesting. E! News has reported that Gabrielle Union and Julianne Hough are joining the judging panel for season 14 of America's Got Talent.
This is kind of wild because for them to join, two people have to be let go.
Yes, so Heidi Klum and Mel B are going away.
Oh. Right, and they've been with it for a while.
They have been.
I'm glad Heidi Klum's going because...
Yeah, you don't like her?
Well, she's great on Project Runway.
Right.
I think she's fine there. But she is not fit to judge certain performers. Stand-up comedy, she can't do that. She doesn't get it. You know what I mean? She doesn't understand.
She's a little bit out of that
realm.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. I always thought her ability to assess talent or at least to comment on things, of the few times that I watched the show, seemed to be lacking.
Yeah. I never watch it. I actually watched it last night.
How was it?
It was really good.
Was it?
Yeah. They had They had a duo, knife throwing duo. Oh. I'm like, ah, whatever. It was impressive.
Was Dornbos on that?
It was impressive. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Okay.
I watched two acts. When I say I watched it, I mean I watched some
you
of it.
You saw some of it.
I saw some of it.
You were channel surfing.
Well, I guess, and they're doing like their past champions are facing off against each other.
Yeah, they had Susan Boyle, right?
Oh, I didn't see her. The only ones I saw were a girl who is a ventriloquist and sings.
God. Oh, that
Shut
girl.
Shut up, right?
Well,
She won the whole thing at one point.
Yeah.
And they were really fawning on her. And I'm like, this is nice. It's impressive, but really?
Yeah. But the concept is, would people pay to see that in Las Vegas?
Right. Then they had a girl who's a really good singer, had horrific burns all over her body.
I saw her.
She was great.
Yeah.
And then this knife-throwing couple, they were phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
But more ventriloquist, huh?
Well, you know, there's another show like this. I think it premiered after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You want to hear something sad.
With Drew Barrymore, and it's the same thing.
My wife was going through the top-earning comedians of last year, and two of the top 10 were ventriloquists, Jeff Dunham and then some other clown. And I'm
an
like,
actual clown.
And I weep for this country.
No!
In Las Vegas,
that's where they go over.
Vegas. And
they have huge theaters.
Take a look at the audience makeup in the Vegas show.
They've all got cups of quarters.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyhow, this could be cool. I love both Gabrielle Union and Julianne Hough. So Simon Cowell and Howie Mandel will return as judges. Terry Crews is going to host. And Meredith R., the president of the group at NBC Entertainment, said Gabrielle and Julianne are two of the most aspirational women in the business.
They're so aspirational.
And on top of being electric entertainers with talent across disciplines.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how their knowledge, compassion, and sheer joy enhance the experience for acts and viewers.
Shut the f*** up!
Thank you.
We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. One last thing. According to E! News, Candace Cameron Bure, is that how you say her last name?
Oh, yeah.
And Jodie Sweetin talked about how Fuller House may end next season. And Candace revealed, we're definitely going to have a wedding. I don't know if we'll have one, two, or three weddings. There's going to be a wedding. Candace and Andrea and I have all talked, and we think that a triple wedding might be kind of a fun way to go out with Jimmy and Steph and Steve and DJ and Kimmy and Fernando.
How long has this thing been on, by the way?
I don't know. Three years, maybe?
Is it 3 years?
Has it been longer than that?
Somebody's getting married.
They are on their fourth season.
Fourth season.
And it first premiered in 1987.
So this would be five seasons, right, if they wrap it up next season?
Yeah. I guess so. She said, I think that would be a nice way to tie everything up. So we'll see if that ends up happening. All right, we're ready for clips. Let's do those now.
Exciting.
Now. After a short hiatus, This Is Us returns tonight.
Kathy, your show.
Yes, I love it.
With the kids reflecting on different memories of their childhood. In this clip, Niles Fitch, who plays the 17-year-old version of Randall, reveals how the show has affected his own childhood.
My father passed away when I was about 12. And I spent many years, you know, coping with that and not fully addressing it, even though I went to counseling groups and stuff like that. But being able to watch it on TV and it be so similar to what happened in my life, it really affected me and it helped me grow as a person.
Shut up, dummy.
Wait, did you say it was on a hiatus?
Yes.
Like mid-season hiatus.
Yeah, but they had two shows in January.
Did they?
Yeah.
Man, why are you harshing our
buddy? No. I just was wondering because it wasn't on. I didn't see the new episode. So I'm like, I wonder what happened, where they went. And now you're saying they're back.
I'm sorry. What day of the week is it on?
I don't know. I DVR it.
By the way, were they repeats, Kathy, by any chance?
Encore
presentations?
No, I mean, they were new to me.
All right.
This Is Us airs tonight at 9 on NBC.
Tonight.
Glad we cleared all that up.
Tonight, please.
Next clip. Daniel Radcliffe plays a failure-fearing low-level angel in the new TBS series Miracle Workers. Angel. Not angle.
Okay. I died and then I saw angles.
Miracle Workers. Here he talks about what it's like to work alongside Steve Buscemi, who is playing God.
We have all watched him for like so much of our lives doing and just having this incredible varied career. And then just to also meet that person, find out that they're just like a lovely, normal human being, it gives you so much faith in actors.
Doesn't he talk funny?
Miracle Workers premiere tonight on TBS.
There we go.
All right, got it all for you. Everything you need to know, my friend.
I don't think right there's there. Any other information you need than what we just got in the past 25 minutes.
Any other information available,
no.
To be honest.
You kind of suck the information out of the world.
Every bit of it. I would like to give something away at this point in time. I have a pair of passes to meet Ty Pennington.
Whoa! Whoa!
Saturday, the Home and Garden Show, the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center. So it's Saturday at 2 o'clock, and it's in Oaks, and we'll take caller number 22, and we will give that to you. 215-263-WMMR. Get tickets for the Home and Garden Show at phillyhomeandgarden.com. There you go. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure to stay with us. Be careful on the road this morning. We'll cover some of the traffic and stuff when we get back. Stay back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, our friends from Dunkin' Donuts here. We're going to do some giveaways in a little while. Not at this very moment, but we do have some gift cards they brought us. And make sure you stop into Dunkin' and get the heart-shaped, bling-sprinkled, and cookie dough brownie batter double-filled donuts.
Yeah!
I haven't even glanced at these yet, but I know they brought a whole bunch out here.
I was actually laying all over them.
President Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Limited time offer. Participation may vary.
I'm so excited. I am going to do the Dunkin' bouquet of little munchkins and the heart donuts for Jace.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, when he gets home from school, I'm going to have it all ready to go.
But what's the phrase that that accompanies it?
Kathy runs on Dunkin'?
There was a... yes, but thank you.
Okay.
There was a phrase that the woman who did it for her husband.
Oh.
And there was you don't not.
Yeah, what did she say?
Leave me something.
Something
it was clever.
Oh, the caller we had.
Right. Yeah. She had a special saying when she presented her Dunkin' Donuts bouquet.
I forget what she said. Now, but I have a question, which is just open-ended, because I don't know if you guys are going to be able to answer it, but do you think I'll be able to get these Valentine's Day donuts later in the day and not just in the morning?
I think so.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Stuck Besides, man. We run on them.
Exactly.
That's right.
We've got to have some pull.
Speaking of, sweets and so on, I did see this that we were talking about Reese's Cups yesterday, or as Kathy says, Reese's.
My Reese's Cups.
Reese's Cups.
Much to the pain of many people who let her know immediately.
Hershey's.com has confirmed that Reese's Peanut Butter Cups Thins will be available.
What?
In both dark chocolate and milk chocolate variety. So it's, little smaller. They're going to be, 40% thinner than your regular Reese's.
And now less.
Not a replacement, just another option, they're saying. So, less calorically, and you can still have a little treat.
Yeah, they've done stuff like this over the year with it, like fun sizes. And I remember Oreos, had the, they increased the amount of cream, and then they reduced it, and then they were just selling, the cookies.
I think they're going to market this towards the counting calories person who still wants a little treat.
I'll give it a smell.
Sure.
You can give it a smell. No. So you are taking in calories, you're just being very rigid, correct?
Yeah, well, I'm doing that be balanced program.
Oh, cool.
No, it's actually working out fine. I'm not starving, but yes, I'm trying to lose weight.
All right.
You know what? I have a few things in the junk drawer. I guess I could.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why don't we do that?
We had talked, and I had no idea.
I went through my. I have a giant stack of papers here. This essentially is the junk drawer.
Stack of papers.
And sometimes I need to clean it out. So, posting on social media for parents, and sometimes parents. Well, what do you mean? Sometimes, all the time, parents like to post what their young children are up to. But the question is, can parents be guilty of sharing too much about their kids online? There is a name for it, as there always is, a phenomenon called sharenting.
Sharenting.
Yes.
All right.
And now some experts say that parents ought to pay closer attention to what they're sharing, and they might be oversharing a bit.
I just watched a documentary it's called Social Animals, about the impact of Facebook. And
I want to see this.
Yeah. And it was really, really eye-opening in a couple of different ways. But, yeah, I see it all the time. Yeah. Parents oversharing stuff. And listen, I get you love your kids, but
we don't.
Ratchet it back a little bit.
My son is 12, and when the first few years of his life, my ex-wife really did not care at all for any sharing of anything of his online. And I disagreed with her, but I got it. I understood her perspective on it. I'll post things of him from time to time, mostly on Instagram. For whatever reason, I try to keep it off of Twitter. But there are still parents who are very protective of putting anything of their kids anywhere online.
You don't want to. You don't know who's looking at that stuff. You don't want to alert them.
I remember in the infantile days of Facebook when it, you know, got out into the public and so forth. And I remember posting a picture of one of my kids, just a regular picture of Parker or Carter or something like that. And I remember my friend Sandy going, "Are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
You don't know what types of people are looking at this." I'm like, you know, and at the time I was like, oh, wait a minute, a pedophile might get pleasure from this or something along that. It was just a picture of my kid.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't them naked or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that sensitivity died pretty quickly. But at first it was like, what are you doing?
How could you?
I think that sensitivity still exists. It's just much more in the minority. But I posted a video of Ben when he was 4 or 5. Singing, he was in the tub.
He was singing me happy birthday.
Singing happy birthday to Kathy. It was just an adorable kid in the tub. And I got flack for it for posting quote unquote nude videos of my son on YouTube. I mean, people damned if you do, damned if you don't.
You couldn't see anything. He was just in the bath.
I know.
But the issue that this makes hang on a second, Kathy. The issue that this makes is that you should consider your kid before you post stuff and actually, especially with older children, give them veto power over any disclosures that you're planning on making.
And here's why I can guess why this would be the case. Because you don't want them 15, 20 years later to say, why did you post this shot of me with a matchbox car up my butt?
Yeah.
Right?
It's like the movie Parenthood. Why'd you make me play second base? And he's out shooting people from the tower. You know?
Well, and we all have the person that does that. Like, I'm sure everyone here is thinking of the person that, you know, that does that on Facebook or whatever social media medium you're on. And it can get really annoying. I mean, yes, great. We can follow along with your life. But, like, every aspect of it is not necessary.
Yeah, all of my children and my wife get veto power, and I'm okay with that. And like, so here's the other weird thing is that now my kids' classmates will follow me on social media.
That's got to be weird. So you're on this show with the stuff that we do, and they follow you. Has that caused any issues?
I alert the parents.
Yeah,
I go, hey, listen, just want to let you know that so and so just started following me on Instagram. I'm not a good follow for a 5th, 6th, 7th grader.
Yeah, you don't hold back. If I was like, if my dad was on a show like this when I was growing up, you know, listen, our audience is not 7-year, 8-year olds. You know, it's not what we target, but that would have been bizarre on every level imaginable.
Yep. So they're saying they recommend that you run it by your kid first. Say, do you mind if I post this? You know, I guess it depends on what age. If they're a toddler, obviously you can fire away. right, exactly.
Can I put this?
I know people though who will use Facebook as their photo album. Like that's where they'll store their pictures. So they do a lot of pictures do get posted because that's where they're storing it.
You need to remember that though. That is actually not your photo book anymore. Facebook owns those photos at that point.
Well, and I still think at some point something is going to happen and everyone is going to lose everything.
I know.
Yeah,
I really think
that's why you got to keep a separate hard drive of your pictures if you can. So anyhow, yeah, they're saying this is becoming a little bit more of an issue for some people anyhow. This expert says, I'm not telling parents to keep, sharing or to not share. I just think that it's really important that when they do share, that they think about how their kids might be feeling about it and how they can best do it safely.
Well, we're living in a time where, you know, things from 10, 20, 30 years ago can come back to haunt you.
Oh my God.
So you could be laying the groundwork for something that could be of an incredibly embarrassing nature for your kids. So you should think about that.
Yeah.
But years ago, you would go take the family photos, the old fashioned way, Preston, at the mall, you go do the deal and you had these keepsakes that you kept at home. And that was right. So that was part of the deal. That was fairly a lot of that was pre Instagram and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So when that became available, I don't ever remember you guys bombarding.
I didn't.
Pictures.
Yeah, I definitely didn't do it.
Are your kids on social media, Preston?
Yeah, but very, very lightly.
That's cool that they're not. Yeah, you know, totally addicted.
Not at all. I mean,
they're more into YouTube than they are into the social media platforms.
Absolutely. Yeah. But my son does follow me on Instagram and will comment on something.
Oh, really?
Yes, is that wild?
I mean, he won't comment on the site, but he'll say something to me about it.
Okay.
You know, they do follow, and I do have to consider that from time to time. I haven't heard any stories yet of, you know, because kids are going to grow up and they may hold that against you if you posted embarrassing stuff. You know, so you
one day, one day.
Yeah, I don't find the kid
me with my dream catcher.
But I don't
Kathy got one in the mail yesterday, by the way.
I don't find pictures. Yeah, I got my first Dreamcatcher. Yeah. Thank
first
you.
Of many.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming.
What was I saying? The pictures of me as a kid, I don't find them embarrassing.
Like, because they don't even look like you.
No, but like I have, like my cousin doesn't like pictures of her when she was a kid. Like she's like, you have to ask me before you post that. Whereas to me, it's like almost, it's cute, wow. No matter what it is.
Like how young?
Just little, like right. Like when we were, you know, I don't know, like middle school or even younger.
When you were Puerto Rican.
When I was Puerto Rican.
My daughter right now, my 9-year-old, does not like, and I love the videos of her like singing and doing.
When she was a baby.
Yeah, she doesn't.
She doesn't like him at all.
But you know what happens? Imagine if you were at school.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the classic, you know, your friends come over and your mom, what used to be the case, your mom breaks out a photo album pictures of you as a baby.
Yeah.
No one wants that.
No, she won't. I can't even watch them while she's in the room.
Right.
So when I, you know, and I go through like crazy fits of baby fever, and I have these videos of when she was like 2-3 years old that I just love, and I can't watch them when she's around. I'm like, man, I hope at some point in her life she's going to appreciate this and like this because I, you know.
One of these days I'm going to kill that old man.
But when I hear this about your friend, Kath, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Maybe she's always going
to
hate these.
And to me, like, I think it was so long ago and I was so young that, like, I even if it is an embarrassing video, like, I was a kid. I didn't know. Like, to me, that's not embarrassing now.
The normal deflection is like, I was 4 years old. Yeah. What do you want?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, just something to consider.
Yeah.
There was a Sharenting. Had but not heard of that.
It was also a double-edged sword here because you could right now lay the groundwork for blackmail.
You know. Could. Yeah, absolutely.
Like the picture of Adam Goldberg in those short pants.
Yeah, that'd be good. All right, so let me move on to something else in the junk drawer.
See, we're creating theater of the mind here.
Let's get to some clothes. Yes, that's me rummaging around. No, that's an act. I actually have a drawer right here. That
I'm sorry,
around.
Preston. Wink, wink.
Mm-hmm. There are plenty of clothing options if you want to show a lot of skin, but now there's one in particular that's getting some backlash online. The item is called the Basic V-Neck Ruched Front Thong Bodysuit.
Oh, it has everything I love.
Front it's thong? It's being sold on Boohoo.com, a UK-based retailer, and it came out a couple of weeks ago, but it's called, Kathy, it's called the Front Thong, and it is what you think it is. It's basically a thin little strip coming. I have a picture of it here coming up front.
Why would you want that?
That can't be comfy, right?
I don't know. But it's essentially
a front thong.
Yeah, it's a front thong.
The thong, a classic thong fans out in front of the nanny hoo-hoo and tucks into the buttocks. This doesn't do that. It says, it's a thin line right up the camel toe.
So a woman posted this. She shared it and said, I understand the bodysuit trends, but surely this would result in being split entirely in two or the world's worst front wedgie. Commenters quickly added their jokes about it. Boohoo shared a statement with Fox News saying that the customer demand for the bodysuit is huge and the style in question is selling out quickly. Boohoo has responded to the trend by offering a wide selection of style options with variations on color, cut, and pattern, all available on site in all sizes.
I don't know.
Allow
why.
Me to get a little medical here, but wouldn't that chafe the cooter? Right?
I'm sorry.
Wouldn't it?
I don't understand what you're saying.
All right. I'm trying to dumb it down.
Any good
you have fabric that is yanking on your privates.
Yeah.
Not going to be comfortable.
Right. I can't think that would.
I don't understand the point of this, though.
I don't either.
Because you're not going to see it anyway.
It's probably to cause a bit of a, you know, conversation.
It's to allow adult women the joy of giving a wedgie.
Yeah. So, well, real quick, Kathy, when you do get a Melvin, which
What's
is a,
that?
It's a front wedgie.
Yes.
Do you feel that? And when you do, like, do you have to, like, go to the bathroom to
Dig it out?
No, you don't. I mean, I don't have to.
With like salad fork?
Dig it out. It's not like being eaten down there. But yeah, no, I guess you can get it sometime.
Well, even if I get like a little bit of a wedgie.
I'm going to have to go in. All right, here we go.
I don't like it and I have to.
Yeah,
I have
yeah,
to.
Sure.
So I'm just saying if you get like a little bit of a Melvin, do you have to fix that?
Yeah, when I go to the bathroom, I will fix it. Okay. Yeah.
Kathy, what
if
you
stick my hands down my pants while you're standing here?
That's what I'm saying.
Wait a second.
Oh, this is really painful. I got a very full handle of it.
God, I remember one time my ass just itched so bad.
It was because it was dirty, remember?
Of course it was, and I knew you were going to jump right in and say that. But, I mean, I thought no one was around, and I really dug up in there to itch my bunghole.
And then the curtain rose up in the auditorium.
No, it was a friend of mine going, wow, you're really going for it, aren't you? It was a girl. And I'm like, listen, it itched really bad. And I couldn't help it, but I was so embarrassed.
That's so great.
When you have that, you need to scratch or tend to or do something thing, and you just got to get to a bathroom.
And the worst part about it is when the itching feels really good, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to keep doing this for a while.
You're full coiled fist.
Oh,
you're wearing your Wolverine claws. Because honestly, it does. That is one of the joys of scratching. No matter how disgusting one thinks it is when you have an itchy butt.
Yeah, but you're making it worse by doing
You are. You know, it's akin to this. When I come in from the cold, a lot of times I'll get... The skin gets dry if I've been shoveling or whatever, and you scratch that, and you have no perception of how hard you're scratching. So later on,
you have these.
I'll get scratch marks. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah.
By the way,
for that brief period, it feels good.
It does feel good. By the way, I'm wearing my Phillies underwear today.
So
very, very comfortable.
Jealous.
Oh, and spring training just started, right?
Pitchers and catchers report tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Well, that's a good sign. That's always a really good sign.
We're getting there.
All right. Anyhow, you can get this thing. It's the front thong for a front wedgie, ladies, if you've always dreamed.
How many true innovations in clothing have occurred? There's not many. There's no.
Well, they got that stupid harness thing going on now.
Yeah.
Oh, the
that is not a mainstream item. Don't worry.
No, but let's say something like the yoga pants craze.
Yoga pants was a big craze.
That was a bit of a revolution, right? I mean, or at least it's really took over.
No, they're just spandex pants. That's all it is. And they just renamed them yoga pants.
And made them more expensive.
That's all.
Okay.
I don't know. So maybe not.
All right, let me go to Katie here real quick because she's got a name for a front wedgie. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Katie, what did you want to tell us you called a front wedgie?
One of my girlfriends made it up when we were younger, so I never heard of Melvin, but we always called it a kaji.
A kaji?
A kaji, like a coochie wedgie.
A coochie wedgie.
A kaji. I like
it. I thought there was a fish reference there for a second.
Wouldn't that be a coochie, though?
Yeah, a coochie.
Yeah. I think kaji just has, I don't know, more of a ring.
Listen,
to it.
It's your word. You can run with it.
Yeah, man.
I can't make it up. I can't take all the credit.
Kaji.
I do like the inventiveness of that, though, Katie. Thank you.
Sounds like a mischievous genie.
All right.
My name is Kaji.
Let's go to another piece of clothing in the junk drawer. Shoes.
Shoes.
Stinky shoes.
Mm.
Apparently, there's an easy way to kill the smell, a method that you may not have thought of before.
Throw out the shoes.
No, well, there's that. Yeah. But a Reddit user recently posted on the site, when my shoes start to smell, I pull the soles out and I smear a dollop of hand sanitizer on the inside bottoms and let them dry overnight and they smell better in the morning.
I thought you were going to say a friend of mine used to spray...
cologne?
No, like Summer's Eve.
Febreze. Oh, Summer's Eve.
Yeah. Douche? On her shoes. Yeah.
Really?
On her dance shoes.
Okay.
Don't worry. I clean my feet. This is going to feel so good.
The trick might sound a bit crazy, but Luke Lombardo, RRCA certified running coach, recently told Runner's World, not only is it important to get rid of the nasty smell that is on your shoes, but it's also imperative that you kill the pesky bacteria living in your shoes.
Huh. Have you ever had some... Man, so I do a lot of hiking, you know, and I have to make, I just cycle through the shoes after a while because, you know, you're fighting a losing battle after a while if you're sweating in them constantly.
Yeah.
But I used to do like a talcum powder, you know, put in the shoes to help dry them out, and that would help for a bit.
Yeah. If you go outside and douse them in gasoline and set them on fire.
That really helps.
It does.
Yeah.
I wear, so I exercise every day, and when I exercise, I sweat a lot. And since I do it every day, I would be going through clothing like crazy.
Right.
So I wear the same shorts every time I work out for about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, and then I wash them. Oh, I don't care if they stink. I'm at home. I'm working out.
Oh, you're
on my
at
own.
Home. All right. Okay.
Yeah, so, I don't go to the gym, I do not care. So I will set those aside. I'll let them air dry.
I do the same thing.
And after a couple weeks, they reek pretty bad, but I don't care.
Yeah. I exercise the same schedule every day. And I have an area for that because otherwise you'd be burnt. You'd be cycling through clothing so quickly.
Now shirts.
Now in the winter,
get soaking
it's
wet,
a lot
so
easier.
I change, yeah,
because I'm going out and hiking, whereas you're inside.
Yep. You do get soaking wet, like drenched head to toe.
Mm-hmm. Does that turn you on?
I think that you should wash. I just want you to wash your shorts.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they're already soaking wet. So what's the problem?
Just put soap on them.
Well, they smell bad. They definitely stink. But it's just me. I don't care.
Come on, man. You got your room. You got your own room, right?
Wait, so I'll do like different workouts, and there are workouts obviously where I'm sweating a lot, and then some where not so much on certain days of the week. Even those, like even if I just go to the gym in it, it's going in the washer.
So by the way, yes, you can put this stuff on there. The Centers for Disease Control says if you're going to skip on using soap and water to clean your shoes, you can use alcohol-based hand sanitizer that's at least 60% alcohol. Be sure to use enough of it and let your shoes dry completely. For it to be effective. So there's a little hack for you right there.
That's a life hack.
Yeah, if you want to.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll check that out.
Okay.
I'll probably forget.
Let me find another story. These are just things I want to make sure we get to at some point.
People need to know.
This is pretty cool. So there's a raffle that will benefit the Special Olympics of Southern California.
Yeah.
And normally when you go to raffles for events, you know, you have a chance to win some pretty decent stuff. They are raffling off a Tuscan-inspired estate in the hills of Calabasas.
Oh.
4-bedroom, 4.5-bathroom, sweeping canyon views, places to relax and unwind, such as a fire pit area and a glistening pool. Raffle tickets aren't cheap. The net proceeds benefit 37,000 athletes for the Special Olympics Southern. So the tickets, Southern California, $150 each, but the estate is worth $4 million.
Whoa. So $4 million. The buy-in per ticket is $150 for the raffle ticket.
I would enter this in a heartbeat.
Wow!
I mean, because it's essentially a $150 donation to the Special Olympics of Southern California, which is a great organization.
How'd they get the villa?
I don't know.
It's on fire.
Somebody had to have donated that, I guess.
My cousin runs a charity in Southern California. And Kathy, I know you know this, but we all do. If you do a charity event around here, you go to local restaurants, you find a place to host the beef and beer, whatever. And most of the time, if you ask, people are willing to donate. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to, if you ask somebody in Southern California for stuff, you just get access to cool things like this. You can ask, I mean, she'll get like Ben Affleck to show up at a poker tournament because she knows somebody who knows him, you know, and it's just because they all live there.
Right.
So I guess, getting access to this,
Wait a second.
He was at the one three years ago, Steve.
Ben Affleck.
She knows Jennifer Garner.
You have an Affleck connection?
I do. Believe me, I've tried. He was at the poker tournament 3 years ago.
I mean, he also likes to gamble and play poker and stuff like that. So
would he come in here and play Connect Four?
For charity.
For charity?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the Special Olympics, maybe. But my point is, like, somebody in the Special Olympics in Southern California must have known somebody who had this villa that they were just willing to part with.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I have been at some pretty cool charity golf outings, and it's been, like, you know, a week in Tuscany at a state. But you got to, you know, it's not a buy a ticket. It's a bid on it thing.
Yes,
And people are calling their friends saying, let's do this, you know, or let's bid $10,000.
There was an African safari. I was at this golf outing. I mean, it was like $8,000-$10,000 African safari for like 4 to 6 people, and nobody was bidding on it. Like, not like.
Why didn't you bid on it?
I called my wife. I'm like, can I get an African safari? You know, like you would have had to pay for your flight out there, but everything else, you know, I was like,
is it the time commitment involved? Like you have to book 2 weeks to get to Africa or something like that makes it difficult?
You know, and it wasn't like you have to go this week. It was, you know, kind of open, and but it just wasn't going, and I was like, oh, man.
Sometimes there's restrictions on those things.
When
Nick,
you can go, exactly.
I remember one time I won. I was at a charity event, and you had to throw a bag of peanuts into a hole.
Yeah.
And you won free trips on Southwest Airlines, wherever you want. Well, wherever you want and whenever you want was a bit of an issue.
Yes, I threw the peanuts into the hole.
blackout dates,
right.
Only certain areas that you could go to, had to be midweek and all this crap.
Yeah,
and it
yeah,
was
yeah.
a pain in the yeah. ass. Eventually, my wife and I ended up going to West Palm Beach, and she ended up getting sunburn and getting sun poisoning.
Sure, oh, you don't need that. And then you're sitting around with the other millionaires in their homes. And, how are you here, Preston? I threw some peanuts in a hole. What was that again? What do you do for a living? I'm on the radio, but I won this by throwing some peanuts in a hole.
I threw a bag of peanuts in a hole.
Oh, that's great.
And since then...
I'll be outside by the fire pit.
I'm hesitant to try and win airline tickets and trips and stuff like that because it can be... Really, really.
You're obligated.
Do you know who has good luck with this stuff? My wife. Mm. She's won a couple of trips at charities, so she wants to be, you know, generous when that happens. But you're right. There's always limiting restrictions. And in this case, with this, the house, or do you have a lease on the house?
It says here the big winner gets the Calabasas mansion, or you can choose $4 million in cash.
So no. $4 million would indicate you would win and own the house.
Mm-hmm. Other prizes among 3,000 of them include vacations, luxury cars, as well as jewelry and electronics. That's pretty awesome.
Electronics?
Electronics.
I got $4 million worth of electric shavers.
Here's a toothbrush.
We have time.
I got a quarter of a million quips.
We have time for one more story. I will let you guys.
You okay, buddy?
I will let you guys.
Casey Heimlich him, quickly.
No, don't.
Oh.
Just stop touching me. will it be?
All right.
People using a dangerous form of alternative treatment.
All right, I'm liking that.
Getting a better night's rest, or will it be autonomous vehicles delivering parcels in the future?
Number one, you kind of didn't really sell number three well enough.
I'm sorry.
And number two, we've had a number of stories that are like that.
Okay, so number one.
Yeah.
Every year, people all over the United States, even overseas, travel to the Boulder Basin in Montana
for a potentially
dangerous alternative treatment. They actually sit in tunnels of a handful of radon health mines,
what?
They call them.
Radon yes. health mines?
These are decommissioned gold and uranium mines, breathing in air tainted with radon no. and even drinking radon water.
Why?
I know.
What? What? Have they not heard that you want radon removed from your basement? Radon filters?
So those that go to the mines are there to treat a number of chronic pain conditions, including arthritis, back injuries, and fibromyalgia. And yes, this is the same radioactive chemical element that the United States Environmental Protection Agency warns about. High concentration of radon are clearly linked to an increased risk of lung cancer. According to epidemiologist, is that how you say it?
Yeah, you said it right.
Epidemiologist. Tim Driscoll from the University of Sydney and Occupational and Environmental Cancer Committee on the Cancer Council, radon is not to be messed with. They said if radon's breathed in, it's in the lung, either in the airways or lodged in the tissue. While it breaks down, alpha particles cause direct damage to the DNA of the lung cells and increase your chance of radon.
It's also sort of a fast. The only thing you get is water and asbestos chips.
That's it?
Yeah.
You can't live on that.
You can't live on that. Those things are unhealthy. This is the dumbest goddamn thing I've ever heard, that you would want to sit yeah. in a cave that has high levels of radon.
In normal situations, there are a few reasons why we sometimes need to be exposed to radiation for medical purposes. Every time you get an X-ray, you get a short blast of radiation. If you have to radiotherapy for cancer, you get a decently sized dose. But these are specially monitored circumstances with many precautions in place as to the dose, purpose, and duration of treatment.
So you're saying the caves are not as finely calibrated?
No, I don't think they are, Steve. approximately 20,000 Americans die of radon-related lung cancer each year just from the radon built up in basements and in their homes.
So you have
I have a radon detector.
So do we. When we moved yeah. in, now, a lot of times when we moved into the house, there was a slightly high level, but that's because no one had been living in the house or opening up doors or, you know, like...
Yeah,
when it sits stagnant for a while, the radon can build up. We have the filter to pull out, and everything seems pretty good. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at a picture of morons sitting on comfy chairs in a cave.
Yeah, so listen to this. It says for the travelers that go to these health mines, it's not quite that black and white as far as it being dangerous.
We're stupid.
The visitors of these mines really believe they see a tangible benefit from sitting in an irradiated mine for up to 60 hours over 10 days.
I can't believe that.
I know.
That's like going to your dentist and just getting an hour x-ray.
Yeah, getting a tour of Limerick and saying, can I go into that area?
Yeah, you know? That with the skull and crossbones. Can I eat my lunch in there?
Hey, is radon regional? I remember when buying
a
house.
They go on tour.
No. Like that the radon detectors and the dangerous levels of radon are more prevalent in Pennsylvania, but I could be way off.
There are some areas, I think, where you're going to find higher intensity levels of radon. I remember that.
I thought it was based on the house.
The age of the house?
Yes.
No, I thought it was where, because it's where the house is
situated,
built into. It's a ground generated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes from the ground, the soil. The soil, Preston. The rocks.
So, according to a small number of reputable scientific research papers, at least in the case of rheumatoid arthritis, radon therapy appears to work better than a placebo. However, it's really important to note that these studies can't show us how it worked and the scientific basis for radon's efficacy.
Efficacy.
Efficacy, thank you. Is pretty thin on the ground. And by the way, epidemiologist, somebody texted in. That's how you say it.
No, it's a little too exculpatory for
thank
me.
You.
If you don't
thank
mind.
You very much. I appreciate your test turn take on that, sir.
Well, I don't want to be taciturn.
Right. I had to lend some gravitas to the conversation. Yeah.
Which is the residue around a duct anus.
I thought this was very, very bizarre. So
it's not only bizarre, it's going to be lethal.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so anyhow, these are just some items in the junk drawer. Needed to be cleaned out. Thank you very much for allowing me to do that. As we get ready to take a break, how about we give away some Dunkin' love?
Oh.
Dunkin' is here this morning, and they brought $50 Dunkin' gift cards. They also brought the heart-shaped bling-sprinkled cookie dough and brownie batter double-filled donuts. Of course, Preston and Steve show runs on Dunkin'. Limited time offer. Participation may vary. Let's take call number 19, and we will give you the $50 Dunkin' gift card.
Nice.
215-263-WMMR, the number. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Make sure to stay with us. I got some B-file stories I think you're going to enjoy when we return.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum is Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. It's the best lift ticket deal all year and a spectacle on snow. MMR ups our game in the prize department, including a $2,000 cash prize for overall best design, $1,000 for the coolest Captain Morgan theme. Sprint has a quick $500 for the fastest sled and a booby prize for the new category, Preston and Steve's Favorite Fail. Mandatory sled registration through February 24th. Available at WMMR.com. For the MMR VIP lift ticket presale, the sooner you buy, the less you pay. Now through February 17th, lift tickets are just $10 while supplies last. Details at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Yeah. Hey, I got another $50 Dunkin' Donuts gift card. I can give you. Yeah. Let's take caller 10, 215-263-WMMR. We'll set you up. You can try something new this Valentine's Day and say it with donuts. New heart-shaped donuts. Bling sprinkles and cookie dough and brownie batter double-filled donuts are in stores now at Dunkin'. Preston and Steve show runs on Dunkin'. By the way, Kathy.
Yeah.
For your Dunkin' Donuts bouquet you're going to make. What the woman had said on her card was, I do not know what I would do without you.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
That's perfect.
So you can add that. I do not know.
Okay.
So we'll set you up with that. And we have a few more to go through the morning. So get yourself prepared. And another thing we're giving away today. By the way, tattoos are taking place. We have from Ink. Jesus Christ.
That's okay, buddy.
I
know. So Preston beat Tie Tie. It's out of Ferris Bueller's Day.
No, dude, and in case you take your index finger, put it on Preston's.
I was trying to say Ink Master Season 11.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
Ink. Ink Master Season 11 artist Chris Shockley is actually administering a tattoo right now to listener Jim. Shut up. Chris Shockley is from Empire Tattoo in Clementon. And you go to EmpireTattooInc.com. We'll see how that goes a little bit later on this morning. But the point I'm trying to make
is
we have a chance for you to come in and get a tattoo on Friday morning from one of the world's most prolific tattoo artists out there, a guy named Clean Rock One from Ink Masters and Golden Skull Tattoo in Las Vegas. He will be here. The tattoo convention is coming in. Troy has been telling us about it for a while now, and now it's coming here, and so are all these amazing tattoo artists like Chris Shockley, who's here this morning, and like Clean Rock One is going to be here on Friday. What you need to do if you're interested in getting a Preston and Steve tattoo is text the word tattoo to 39333. You will need to be here on Friday if you want to get a tattoo from him. That morning, we're going to do it here in our studios, and you're walking away with one of the best you could possibly get.
So with all these master-level tattoo artists coming through here, Preston, are you going to seek some advice? Because I know you were considering perhaps getting
a cover-up?
A cover-up.
No, I'm not ready to do it.
All right.
I have to find something personal that I really want and then make the decision.
May I suggest something?
Yeah.
Just written in actual script?
Ying, ying.
Ying, ying, ying.
So, anyhow, keep in mind, it's got to be a Preston Steve tattoo. You got to be here by Friday to get that done. So text the word tattoo to 39333. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All righty, I got you some stories, and let's start with this one. Police are looking for a woman accused of smashing a New York City restaurant's window and front door with a bat over beef patties.
Over beef patties.
Yeah, the woman entered the Back Home Jamaican restaurant in the Bronx and ordered a beef patty. An employee told the woman that they were out of beef patties, and the woman left, and she returned. She began to break the store's windows and glass front door with a baseball bat and then left.
Is it that hard to embrace the concept that sometimes stores run out of things?
Surveillance video shows the woman smashing the front of the restaurant. A person appears to try to stop her, but eventually backed away when she continued swinging her bat.
I want my beef patties, man.
Owner Simone Johnson said the woman is a regular customer at the restaurant. She couldn't believe that it had happened. Listen, one time I was in line at a Wendy's. This was in Chichester when I lived over that way. And I'm standing in line. There's like three or four people in line. A woman comes in and she goes, I'm sorry, you're in my place. I went to the bathroom. And I'm like,
to you?
Yeah, to me. She's like, I was already in line. I had to go to the bathroom. And I was just like, I was confused by it. And I'm just like, go ahead.
Whatever.
Go ahead. And then she gets up there and she brought the exact amount of money that she had to get whatever she wanted to order.
Oh my God.
They had changed the prices.
Yeah.
She couldn't wrap her head around the fact that from time to time, places of business will change the prices on something. And she bitched and complained and argued with the person behind. She just couldn't get it.
Do you remember what the dollar amount was? How much she was
very
ordering?
Very little. Yeah, yeah. You know, it was a handful of bucks. The woman didn't have much money as it was, and she was a little
loony. Especially with the line cutting comment.
Yeah, and I was just like, and that's what I thought of actually when I read this story about the beef patties. I'm surprised she didn't come back later on with the baseball bat and smash up the Wendy's. But yeah, effing people, man.
All right, let me ask you a quick question though, philosophically speaking. If you're standing in line and you're about to get waited on, and then you realize that there's something over there that is just maybe a half step too far away for you to reach across, do you lose your spot in line?
No, you can turn to the person behind you and say, I'm just going to grab that quickly. Do you mind?
Yeah.
That, you know, but if you go off for 45 minutes, no.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. All right, a 32-year-old snowboarder who tried to jump Bogus Basin Road on Saturday afternoon, collided with an SUV that was traveling up the mountain and later died at a local hospital.
Holy hell.
The snowboarder was identified by police as a guy named Shay Helmick. Helmick was snowboarding outside the boundary of the ski area when he attempted to jump the road. I don't know if there was like a little bit of a ramp or something. He was going to be able to try and clear it.
He must have failed.
No information about the circumstances that led to the attempt to jump was available. The snowboarder collided with a Hummer H2.
Oh, Jesus.
Like the worst.
He wasn't wearing a helmet. And the juvenile driver of the Hummer and the passenger, also a juvenile, were wearing their seatbelts. They weren't taken to the hospital. They were just driving. Dude tried to jump the road. Car coming across. Boom. Gets hit and killed by it.
How easy is it to go off trail at a lot of these places?
Can be pretty easy.
You pull over to the side of the road and go.
Yeah. Really?
You know, in some of them, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So the road was blocked for a while, and they rendered aid and investigated the accident. But that's a terrible story. You got to be careful. A Jamaican man who chose the wrong person to try to extort, which was the only one to lead both the FBI and the CIA. This guy was a former leader of the FBI and CIA. William Webster, who is now 94 years old, and his wife, Linda, were targeted 4 years ago by a man who peddled a lottery scam over phone calls and emails. Over multiple phone calls, Kinnell Ann Thomas of Jamaica told the Websters that he'd set their house on fire or have a sniper shoot them in the back of the head if they didn't pay him thousands of dollars.
And this guy had worked for both the CIA and the FBI.
The Websters say they used their knowledge of the FBI to help send him to prison, which a federal judge did on Friday, and both spoke in court. The caller, Thomas, identified himself as David Morgan, the head of a Mega Millions. Thomas told Websters that he had won $15.5 million in a Mercedes-Benz and needed to wire $50,000 to cover the taxes before collecting the award.
Call him the boogeyman.
That's when Webster first reached out to the FBI. The caller tried again the next day, reaching William Webster once more, who told him that he didn't have the money readily available. About a month later, Linda Webster picked up a call from a blocked number on their phone. Again, it was Thomas. The scammer in Jamaica said that he was watching the Webster's house. He even described to Linda what it looked like and knew they hadn't been home the previous night. Linda thought fast. She still remembers FBI numbers, she said. So while on the call with Thomas, she picked up her cell phone and dialed in to an agent to listen.
Directly to an agent.
This time, Thomas told her she needed to pay $6,000 or he'd find her at her white brick house and would put a bullet straight to her head.
Okay. Mm.
Linda received two more calls from David in the following days. He said that he needed to pay or she and William Webster would be killed. Thomas said that the FBI and CIA would never find him. Prosecutors wrote in their initial criminal complaint. Well, they found him. After his arrest in late 2017, he got off a plane in New York to visit a friend. Thomas pleaded guilty to one extortion charge. He admitted to threatening the Webster. So, dude's going to go to jail. He messed with the wrong
Absolutely.
People. Thank God for that. Police say a Texas woman used her granddaughter's scooter to defend herself against a pair of machete-wielding men wearing clown masks who attempted to rob the woman and her husband. Police say Aretha Cardinal and her husband Joseph Nelson were in the driveway of their home last week when the masked men approached and placed a machete to Nelson's throat.
We're gonna kill you!
Authorities say Nelson wrestled away the machete from one man while Cardinal grabbed the child's scooter from the driveway and used it to strike the other man.
I bet you could use a scooter pretty well.
Yeah, the men tried to chase them and run away. I'm sorry, the men tried to run away, but the couple chased after them, smashing their vehicle window with the scooter. The two suspects have been jailed on aggravated robbery charges.
If it's a Razor scooter, you could be flipping it around nunchuck style.
Yeah, you could. All right, and then finally, let's go with this one. A man melting down fillings inside a Massachusetts apartment building.
Oh, he's downstairs in the basement melting the fillings.
Caused fire.
Lou, are you done with your fillings thing? Arnie's here.
Arnie.
I'll be up in a second. I got to have the last few to melt.
It caused a... It caused fire officials to deem the dwelling uninhabitable because of mercury contamination.
Oh, boy, he's got mercury in him.
Firefighters were called to an apartment on Saturday.
Oh, boy, there's mercury in these ones.
On Saturday and learned that a 51-year-old man had tried to melt fillings. The man, who received the fillings from his grandfather, thought that the fillings were made of silver, but the fillings were actually made of mercury.
All right, grandson, I want you to have my fillings.
The grand man.
Come again?
The man's grandfather was a dentist.
Gampy? What was that?
The man then became sick and has been in the hospital since January 28th. The man's girlfriend called the building management company, prompting fire officials and a hazmat team to respond to the building. Fire officials said a 17-year-old girl living in the building tested positive for mercury.
Oof.
There were elevated levels of mercury in the man's apartment and other areas of the building. They had to shut down the whole apartment building.
For my granddaughter... My house, and for my grandson, fillings.
What did I get?
You got my fillings.
This is the reading of
she
the will.
She gets a house?
Yeah. I'm going to melt them. Don't melt them. They're images of my teeth. I'm gonna melt them. Joke's on him. They're full of mercury.
The entire building was deemed uninhabitable.
Wow. So remember the whole big purge in dentistry for those old fillings that had mercury in them that people had put in before a certain time frame, to upgrade your fillings to non-mercury fillings was a big thing.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you for now, my friend. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us and listen. If you want to win that tattoo, make sure you text the word tattoo to 39333. A chance coming Friday morning. Get tattooed by Clean Rock One. It's a big deal. And don't forget the tattoo convention is the 15th through the 17th, Pennsylvania Convention Center. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Disturb. Are you ready? Think I'm ready for you to be strong. Ghost. Just wanna be with you. The Glorious Sons.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
33 WMMR.
Thank you very much, Kathy. There was a story last week. We had mentioned this. It was a house that was being shown. There were some pictures in the house that showed some dungeon, some S&M stuff.
Yes. Some real deal S&M stuff.
Yeah, but did you hear the backstory on this?
No.
That it was indeed a setup?
Yep.
That they posted those pictures on purpose to kind of get a little viral movement on.
And so that stuff wasn't in there?
No, it was in there, oh, but they did it for that purpose.
For
Airbnb.
And when we talked about it, I think on Thursday or Friday, and then the realtor spoke on Friday, and she said, oh, I'm just treating it as a normal house. Well, that, I guess, was all fake, too.
Yeah, that was the word. So word has come forth that it was a bit of a setup.
The owner said that they had it planned since the summertime.
Do you know what? Yeah. So it doesn't change the complexion of the thing. They said they still had this equipment in their basement, right? So am I?
Yeah, but they did it. They did it for the.
They staged it
for the specific getting viral traction on the photos, and that's why they did.
And I wonder if the house is actually for sale.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
You know, if they
why would you go to all that trouble? Well, because how much money are you going to make off of just being a
because they rent it on Airbnb. Yeah. They look for Airbnbs to come in and rent the house.
Well, if people come in, so the stuff's there now, right?
It's positioned as like host a party here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What kind of party?
But anyhow, whether that's, you know, legit or not, a few weeks back we did a segment where I'd read an article about people who install cable.
Yes.
For a living, and there was an article that a woman was commenting on the things that she has seen. So we opened up the phones for specifically confessions of, you know, cable installers. And we got some great stories of people seeing naked grandmothers or finding loads of drugs or,
yes,
you know, different things. So why not open that up to realtors, real estate workers, and the things that they've seen throughout their years on the job? So I'd like to open up the phones to you because I'm sure that you've seen not only having to deal with interesting, bizarre clients.
Yes.
Or maybe at some of the open houses or some of the things that people have in their homes. 215-263-WMMR. You can remain anonymous if you want to. But I would love to hear some of the things that you've seen throughout the years. Because I know even people just going to open houses have seen some bizarre stuff.
Well, like, and I love you, man. There are people, you know, remember, he goes just to get free food.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And all that stuff.
So we're going to do exclusively for people who work in that industry, yeah, confessions of real estate workers. 215-263-WMMR is the number.
So both my brothers work in real estate, and my youngest brother, he shows houses and apartments to college students.
Oh, boy.
So he has seen everything from naked people to naked couples to naked girls to naked boys. Like, he every time he goes in, he has to, and he said, I make my presence well known, because you figure if you're looking for a house or you're coming, you know, from another state, he does it on Temple's campus or in that area, in Temple's area, they're coming on the weekends. The college kids are out partying all night. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I have to almost wake them up. He goes, I remind them 100 times that we're coming Saturday. I try not to book anything too early. But he's gone in the middle of the afternoon, and, you know, he said people sleeping all over the place.
I can't imagine. I know that in the couple of times, so, you know, when we were sold our house years ago when I was just a kid, you know, they would show up. The real estate agent would show up on the, we have somebody, and we'd be like, you know, in the middle of a meal, like, okay, because you want to sell the house so much.
Yeah.
So many times it's at an inopportune moment. I'm sure, yeah, statistically, you probably get a lot of that.
We'd get calls. We'd be like, can you guys get out of there in an hour?
Yeah. Because
we got somebody who wants to come by and take a look.
And you want to sell your house.
Yeah. You got to spot clean real quick. Yeah. You try to keep it as clean as you can during that time. But if, you know, I mean,
hide the butt plugs.
Hey, yeah. Hide all the butt plugs as quickly as you can. No, but you got to move quickly. And I would imagine some things might fall through the cracks.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be there when people are going through your house because they make comments on it and stuff like that. There was one time where, you know, we had already shown the house a couple of times that day, and then they called us, hey, we have somebody wants to come by now. We're like, well, we're not going anywhere.
We're here.
So they're going to
hang out?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we just kind of hung in the back room, and as they walk through or whatever, but that was the only time.
Could you hear them making snide comments about the house?
No, the house is in great condition.
All right.
Well, and you know, my brother showing the houses to college kids, they don't own the houses, so the people, you know, renting, they don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they don't get out, they're like, whatever.
Yeah. I know, and this used to be a problem. I don't know if it still is, but, you know, there's such a terrible opioid epidemic going on in this country that people will, people who have... or who are addicted to that would go through these open houses to go through medicine cabinets and stuff.
Really? Oh, yeah, we heard about that.
Most definitely.
Is that something that they target if you have an opioid addiction? This is a perfect house for you. You're within walking distance.
No, that's one of the things I remember. So people would go through their medicine cabinets and see if they could find something if they weren't, if they didn't have somebody accompanying them in the bathroom.
Yeah, sometimes I've seen, we did a lot of house hunting prior to getting our house now. It took about a year and a half. But you'd go into places, and it's clear that people had prepped properly. They'd put things that would have been, even though they were still living there, there was medicine cabinets were cleared out and things like that were taken care of, so that you just got the lay of the land without getting too private.
I totally forgot that my cousin had... she had jewelry lifted from her.
What?
Yeah.
You can't, see, I'm too security minded.
Yeah.
Everything would have to get locked away.
Let me go to a couple of calls. I have Jay on the line. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
Gadzooks,
buddy. You work in the real estate industry?
Yeah, down in Vineland, New Jersey. We deal with bank owned foreclosure properties. We usually get to them after the people are already gone. And this one time we went there. I guess their plumbing and the water had been shut off. They cut a hole in the floor, and they were pooping in buckets and dumping it right into the basement.
Oh my God. Wow. So you're in a house so they've obviously foreclosed on it because it's so far, gone. And then they just figure they're basically squatters, no pun intended, and
exactly.
That's what you see. Wow. So was that the worst you saw, or did you see other stuff?
That's one of the worst. I mean, there's plenty of others. We could spend all day talking about the disgusting people.
Yeah. Well, Jay, when you're dealing with foreclosures, I understand sometimes people are so upset, pissed off that they're being foreclosed upon that they'll just wreck the house before they move.
They'll take all the kitchen cabinets and the countertops out. They'll take all the toilets and sinks out.
What?
They'll take electrical outlets and switches out.
I remember seeing a story one time of somebody pouring concrete down the drain.
Yes. Yep.
They do expanding foam. They'll spray expanding foam down to the plumbing and electrical sockets. And they'll just do anything they can.
That's a crime, though. I mean,
there's no crime. They don't even get charged.
They don't get charged.
They get paid. They get paid to leave their house.
Wow.
After they destroy it.
Oh, my God. So I remember when we were actually house hunting first years ago when we came down here. We were in and around the Manayunk area, and we went into a house. Clearly, Kathy, I don't know if you're – I'm assuming your brothers go check out a place before they start, selling it or attempting to sell it.
Well, yeah, because they have to list it,
right. So we're walking in this room. This real estate agent had clearly never been in the place. So here is a foyer, and here is, the door open. It's the first time she's seeing the room. We go into the kitchen, and in red paint with a big brush – against the whole kitchen wall, which is all has holes punched out of it. It says F, except it's the full word.
Oh, no.
The FBI.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, my God.
So I'm figuring the FBI in some way was part of them having to leave the house for whatever, their meth lab in the basement or whatever.
Besides just the condition of some of these places, I wonder if people in this industry have sat down with, the parties at B and they're signing all the papers and so forth and getting almost there. And then somebody's like, I changed my mind. I'm not going to do it. Or selling a house.
I'm
or
sure.
Along those lines.
Or you get, I wonder if just pure sentimentality.
Just gets a grip.
Just gets,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
gets,
but you can't just back out of a sale of
I
a
don't
house.
Know.
You know what I'm saying? When you accept their offer, you're accepting that. Going to closing is just signing the paper. So unless there's something wrong with the, when they go in to inspect the house or something like that, you've already signed. So you're going to be out some money if you do that.
I'm going to go next to Ian. Ian, you're on the air. Good morning.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good, bud. So what have you seen?
So I work in the foreclosure business as well, and I walked up to a second floor of a home, and there was a full-blown amateur porn studio.
Wow. That's actually a good name for a company, full-blown productions.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
full-blown productions. So what all did you see? Describe what you saw.
So there was mattresses on the ground. There was all these different kind of lamps. binders and binders full of Polaroids of naked women, all shapes and sizes.
Oh, man.
Dibs.
Very, very awkward. I've seen a lot of things in this business that are funny, also depressing and sad.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I assume that fell a little bit in the depressing and sad category, correct?
What's that?
I mean, you're looking at, I mean, so it's an obviously a low-rent porn studio.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
Yeah.
Where was it again, Ian?
I believe it was in New Jersey. I go to so many that I completely forget where these places are. I go to maybe 20 a day. So
you go to 20 foreclosures a day?
Yeah. Yeah, on average.
Wow. So let me ask you, in to Casey's point about destroying houses and things of that nature, how often has someone damaged the house just out of anger or spite when you go in to investigate?
So it happens pretty often. It's usually squatters that will come in and break into a home.
Okay.
And just, you know, rip it apart, graffiti, you know, rip out the copper, you know, steal the appliances, all that kind of stuff. We secure it to the best of our abilities, but, you know, if you want to get into a home, you're going to get into the home no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a running joke in that movie Moving with Richard Pryor, but that, you know, the seller's going to take everything out of the house, but then they legit do take everything out when they move.
Right.
So does that ever happen as well, Ian?
They sometimes do. I've walked into homes where the people have passed away and the family doesn't come get their things, and it's completely furnished down to, you know, a notepad on the dresser next with a, you know, a pen, and they just wrote something and they just passed away and it's been, you know, there for years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's like a painting. It's everything's just staged.
So is it for you, is it bizarrely fascinating? I mean, does that keep it interesting, or is it you in a bizarre way do enjoy it?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It's a hunt. It's kind of the adventure. I've been to homes where, you know, nothing has been in the home except for the wedding photo tucked in the closet, and that just means, you know, they probably had a fantastic marriage.
Wow. Yeah. So have you ever gone to a foreclosure and felt that you were in danger?
Multiple times.
Multiple times. What was the worst? What was the worst scenario that comes to mind?
I mean, I went to rekey a home, knocked on the door. It was, you know, completely vacant, and, you know, I busted off the lock. And this guy came running out, and he's like, "Why are you breaking into my house?" And I was like, "You're not supposed to be here." So I let the cops handle that. I usually go right to the police. And
do you carry any? I mean, are you licensed to carry a sidearm or anything?
No, just a little pocket knife usually. So I'm pretty screwed if anybody comes at me. You know,
I got a Phillips head, and I know how to use it. I have an Allen wrench, and I know how to use it.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, yeah. Exactly. Best to let the police handle it.
Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, see ya. I'm going to go next to Duncan. Hi, Duncan. You're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, my man?
Hey, so I do a similar job. I just picked it up about 3 months ago, mm-hmm. and I've been into some crazy houses. I've gone from Camden up to Trenton, done about 40 houses. Some I've accidentally almost broken into the wrong house.
Oops,
without
man.
The address on the front, and there's actually people in there. That's scary as hell.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's actually a house that we went to. I didn't. My coworker did. Where the house was, the guys were taken to jail or whatever, and the basement when he went in was flooded, and there was blood on the ceilings and on the walls. And it turns out that this guy was a pagan, not only in the gang, but also a pagan worshiper. So he would actually take live animals into the basement and slay them.
That's unbelievable. So is the repo business, because we're getting calls from a lot of foreclosure and repo people in the real estate side of things, is that a growing business?
It's a growing business. You kind of work your own hours. It's great. I'll get a call and be like, "Hey, you got 12 houses, bank owned. Go check them out, knock on the door, do the whole thing."
Well, let me ask you quickly. So let's say, so someone is not making payments on their house or whatever the situation. Lead us through the process that gets you involved and gets you at the front door trying to get inside.
So I'm not at all involved with the agencies at all. I'm just kind of a third party person.
All right.
Freelancers. But from what I understand is that these people don't make payments for like 3 years on their house. It's not just like you're not making payments for a year. We're talking like 3-4 years. Or they go to jail for, you know, indefinite amount of time and they're not making payments. That's another situation where the people pass away.
Right. How many times have you encountered a situation where someone has passed away?
You know, I've been in a few houses. Sometimes I end up going into houses at night because I can't get them all done. Where you go up in the attic, in the basement, in the crawl space, and you definitely get some weird vibes, but I can't, I don't know. It's really hard to tell. Sometimes you talk to the neighbors, they'll tell you stories. Besides that, I don't really have much info.
So what do you do? Man. You just go in and secure the house up, or what, are you supposed to clean it all out and everything?
Well, what we do is we go in, check to see if the copper has been stolen. If it is, we file a report for them, make sure there's no squatters in the house. I always carry like a chest knife, about an 8-inch chest knife.
Okay.
And there's always animals, so we, you know, check for raccoons in the attic or, you know, whatever might be living in there. Yeah, just making sure it hasn't been vandalized or anything, because now it's bank-owned. So,
that copper theft thing is still in full vigor, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I actually just did a house the other day that the copper was taken out.
They're ripping the copper out, the copper pipes and everything. That's just wild.
All right.
Yeah, they just scrap it. So that's a whole, you know, black market business.
Right? Yeah, totally. Wow, interesting. All right, thanks, Duncan. I appreciate it.
That to me is that's got to be scary as F if you're going into a house like at night. Yeah. See, a lot of times when you show the power shut off.
Right.
Yeah, you know, facing down a raccoon in an attic.
Hey, is this just a movie thing or do they still like tape, you know, like there's a dead body and they do the tape around the dead body thingy? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. I think I saw something on Instagram that makes that easier, a device. It's the body outliner.
The chalk outline. I have no idea.
The chalk outline. Yeah.
The house next to mine was vacant for 6 years.
I remember that. And you got to take a look at it, right?
Right next door. Yeah. Once because our neighbors who live there now refurbished it and everything, and we had a friend who worked in the realty business, and he let us go in there and take a look because the sump pump quit. Like 2 years into that house being vacant, because we could hear it running. We knew it was on. And when we get these big, big rains, we're like, oh, man, it's nothing but a flood in there. And sure enough, they had, you know, several feet of water.
And it was the house right next door to you?
Directly next door.
I used their
yard to chip golf balls for 6 years. It was great. It was all overgrown, and I worked on my thick rough shots in there.
Remember there was one year where you could hear a neighbor fighting? Was it them?
Oh, no, that was in my old neighborhood.
Oh, old neighborhood.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that was fun.
You and Rochelle would, like,
we'd grab a drink and sit outside.
Sit out on the porch.
Hey, they're outside. Because they would go outside to not argue in front of their kids.
Just argue in front of you guys.
So they'd go out, and it was a flag lot, so it was kind of behind where our house was. And they were, like, out there. They're screaming at each other. Yeah, we'd look out the window.
Quick, get some wine. Get some beer.
It was totally entertainment. Let me go next to Kim. Hi, Kim. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Kim. What's up?
This is the first time I'm calling. I'm so excited.
Awesome.
All right. Well, what's your story, Kim? You work in the real estate business?
Yeah. Well, I clean for this company that cleans foreclosed and abandoned homes.
Okay.
I just got to tell you, you're talking about it. My guy that I work with and I are on the way to one right now, and we're listening, and I says, oh, my God, I got to call because this is what I'll be doing. We went to one a couple weeks ago. It was the worst thing I ever saw. We walked in, and not only were the ceilings falling down, all the insulation falling down, my foot actually went through part of the floor.
Oh, man.
There had been squatters in there. It was unbelievable. There was mattresses in certain rooms. This one room, they had filled water bottles with their pee.
Oh, God.
So they were going to the, where were they crapping? Did you find that?
Oh, everywhere. That was my next statement. In every corner of the different rooms, there were just piles.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, just go dump in the corner.
We don't really use the den much.
Yeah, it was terrible. There were...
That's a drug house. It sounds like a drug house.
Oh, yeah, needles, used condoms everywhere.
Oh, yeah, like, it was a drug house.
Yeah, at least they're being safe.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe that. That was what I said.
You're right. You don't want to get pregnant.
Thank God for those not born babies.
I don't know who's getting horny when there's four huge piles of human crap in the room, but
That's what we said. Who would be doing anything in these houses? Oh, my God. It was terrible. It was bad.
So let me ask you quickly, Kim. So you said you walked in, your foot fell through the floor. Have you ever been injured, you know, going into these places with stuff like that happening?
No.
No, no. We actually, the other crew actually put that orange, you know, whatever it is, against that wall, so we didn't have to go past that area.
Oh, okay. Like a warning tape. Yeah.
Right, right. I mean, they must have, the toilets were so black. They were like using T-shirts or whatever they could find to wipe, I guess, and then just stuffing them in the toilets. It was amazing.
No, that's what the curtains are for.
Right. You don't wipe your T-shirts.
You wear those.
Yeah.
Oh my God! And you see the dregs of the dregs.
Oh yeah, that house. Every house since then has not fazed me.
Kim? Do you go in with like a mask on or anything?
We have them, and I did actually use it for that house because the smell, if you can imagine, was just unbearable.
And also just airborne stuff. You can't be breathing that,
right? And right. We have a respirator and we have masks.
What if their radon system went down?
Yeah. Oh, God. Wow. It was, yeah.
Jesus.
I just had to share. Yeah.
God, thank you, Kim. Yeah. That was a good first time call from you. We appreciate it.
Great.
Have a good time at work.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. I had my buddy Steve one time, he and his girlfriend had co-signed on an apartment together. They broke up. She stayed there. He moved out. And for, I guess, over the course of 6 months or whatever, she was bouncing checks left and right.
Oh, man.
Steve had a couple of pieces of furniture left in this place. So we went by to go get what furniture he had left. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's like what she was describing, minus the needles. But it was a foot deep of just garbage everywhere that you went. And I mean, just laying out on the carpet piles of cat litter, just with crap in them. Just garbage everywhere. Anything you can think of. It was. I've never seen anything like it in my life. We got like two or three small pieces of furniture out of there and took off. And there were checks laying around. I've never seen anything like it. It was like walking into a dumpster.
In the kitchen, were the spices all out of order?
Yeah, it was a travesty.
I mean, how do you wonder the story that, because I think we've all admitted to being nosy and busybodies, and you want to, you know, with somebody's house, and you want to, well, what's it like in there? So in your mind, you have to run the story. What was going on here that you got that low, where you're, you know, a foot of garbage, and as Kim was saying, piles of crap. Yeah. In the corners of the rooms.
You know what this chick's story was?
Oh, she was a stripper, but that doesn't mean that she's a bad person.
No.
She was just a party girl and didn't care. And she, like decades later, I went and looked her up. She's got a record.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
What does it sound like?
Hip hop or?
No, not that. Oh. She has a criminal record.
Hey, you folks like filth?
No, she was hot, too.
Really?
Yeah, she was very attractive. She was just an idiot. Yeah. Just an idiot. Nick, you pulled up an extensive article about the couple that was responsible for it in, where was it, Maple Glen?
Yeah, yes. It's in PhillyVoice.com. This article premiered today, and it's a really fascinating look into their life and how they've marketed this.
But they actually staged it. This wasn't their basement.
Yeah, this is...
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That they went in, like, they researched and said, this is what we want to do. And they put this in the basement specifically to rent their house on Airbnb.
But that is their house.
It is their house, okay. Yes. And they're doing it because they just met a few months ago, and they have to afford two different houses because their kids are going to different schools, and they don't want to rip their kids out of the schools.
And it's a business, and they're using this house to stage that business. And the real estate agent was not in on the stunt; it was just these two
people.
Yeah. So he.
So to that point, are they allowed to do that in this particular area? Because I remember there was a question as to whether or not that house could be extended.
Yep, they're allowed. They have apparently annoyed some of their neighbors. They rented out a party on New Year's Eve, and some of the people in the neighborhood didn't care for that very much. Also, their kids go to the local high school, and so this publicity has been positive and negative because the kids have been affected as well. So, it's on Philly Voice. I'll post a link to it, but it's on PhillyVoice.com today.
Okay. Hang on a second. No, I want to go to this call first. I want to go to John. He's been on hold for a little while. Hey, John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's all good, buddy. What's up?
I'm not a realtor, but I just thought when I heard the story, my wife and I were looking for our first house. We found a house that was hiding a pool underneath of it, like a full-size in-ground, like 9-foot to 2-foot pool.
There was a full built-in pool under. How is it situated?
It was like a small house in Manayunk, and they had claimed that they built this, extension on the back. To house in-laws or whatnot, and it was a very nice extension. It had a big room, a big bedroom, a private bathroom, But as we're walking around, I thought it was odd that the carpeted floor also had an area rug. And then as I was walking around, just looking around, I noticed the floor just felt a little uneven. So I picked up the rug and found this giant trap door. And then I picked up the trap door, and I was like, there's a freaking pool under here.
I mean, like filled with water?
Cool. And even the realtor was like, oh, he was mortified. He was like, oh, my God. I don't know what to tell you.
Wait, was there water in the pool?
There was like some probably groundwater in there. I mean, it wasn't filled with, chlorine water or whatnot, but yes.
What the hell?
So they hit a pool in this room, and you said, how big was it?
Yes. It was just.
How big was the pool? You said 9 feet?
You said two to nine feet deep.
It looked like one of those. I mean, it reminded me of my aunt's house. She had one of those, big, nice outdoor pools that goes from, 8 foot to 2 foot or whatnot. Ceramic, tile, everything. I'm telling you, it was a pool.
Wow.
That's insane.
I don't even know how that's possible, that you could build a house on top of one.
Yeah.
Or an extension.
We're like, what the? And the guy's like, well, I assume you want to look somewhere else. We're like, yes, please. I can only imagine the mold issue in that house.
I can only imagine, especially if you don't have the right atmospheric controls. You know the story, the guy, the musician next to Robert Plant's house in England, in his basement, he was building and setting, they were building a built-in pool in the basement of his house, and the construction on that was causing foundation issues with Robert Plant's house.
Oh.
So they're in court, facing off against each other.
Very bizarre.
Sneak a pool into the basement.
Well, thanks. We appreciate that. Confessions of people in the real estate industry. We thought it was an interesting story to key off of, but apparently this the 50 Shades home of Maple Glen was it was planned.
Yes.
And sure enough, it worked because they got some international news out of that.
Tons of press. Yeah.
They had those devices and the bed and everything custom made.
They looked it.
Yeah, and if you're looking to build yours, you can go to Bondage Builder on Instagram, and he will build custom-made devices like that for your basement.
Is Bondage Builder local?
No, sadly, he's out of Oregon.
Damn it. Wow.
Yeah.
Then you have to pay some heavy shipping costs.
They went to great lengths.
Yeah, he delivered
to
it.
To do that.
Didn't have to worry about the shipping costs.
Oh, really?
Brought it all the way to Pennsylvania. Yeah.
That's excellent. Kathy, when you save on shipping.
Yes.
I mean, you know how hard it is to order a stockade.
Wow. Okay. Anyhow, thanks for your calls. Appreciate it. I would like to give away some $50 Dunkin' Donuts gift cards. Dunkin' has given us these, and I will take callers number 10 and 11 at 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, Valentine's Day, stop by Dunkin' and get heart-shaped, bling-sprinkled, and cookie dough and brownie-battered double-filled donuts are available now. Press and Steve run on Dunkin'. Limited time offer. Participation may vary. Callers 10 and 11. 215-263-WMMR. Be back in a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. Go to WMMR.com to score $10 lift tickets and for details on how to register your sled to compete for cash and prizes. From WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Red, red, red. Is she seeing red? Well, she wants to this Valentine's Day. Give her one of Steven Singer's famous Valentine's Day red 24-karat gold dip roses starting at only $59 with free shipping. A gift that lasts a lifetime. Only at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The whole school cancellation thing. I know Kathy was a little surprised this morning that your school district was being canceled as far as the weather goes.
I understand it. Yeah. I understand it. But I just remember, and not to sound like an old lady again, but I just remember as a kid, like my dad having to shovel us out of the house so we could get to school 2 hours later.
I remember the same thing. And you'd be looking outside going, definitely canceling it today. I
mean,
look at it. And then they wouldn't.
Yeah.
And now it's a different story.
It's like, yeah, exactly. And it's probably for the better because also you're dealing with different dynamics as far as people who you know, say mom and dad working or whatever and taking and dropping off and so on and so forth. I get it. But it used to seem like, All right, how many kids died on the way to school today?
Right, right.
All right, so we should probably close it. Tomorrow we'll close it. There seems to be no litmus test other than, come on, pussies.
I actually feel for our superintendent. I know him because my wife is on one of the school boards.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So he's a super great guy. But no matter the call that he makes to go to school or not to go to school or delays, catches crap from one side or the other.
Oh, yeah. Always.
At
some point, it became the thing that you get it. Err on the side of caution.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like the kids get away because, as you said, they're going to replace it now. They lose a day.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday. Now, don't take this as gospel. Yeah. Because one of my kids said that most likely if they were going to have a school day today, they would make it up this Friday because Friday there was going to be a day off for, I don't know if it was a service day or whatever. But anyhow, they're going to make it up on Friday. That's what I hear.
That's what you've heard.
Yeah. How close do you think we're getting to not having snow days at all and just doing virtual online? So, like, you just...
What,
go onto your computer
on that day that you can't go into school, that you have a
teacher just teaches
I think we're
class.
Very far from that.
Because not everybody will have that, be guaranteed that technology, unless, of course, the school issues it to everyone.
Well, there's some schools that issue the laptops the or the tablets or Chromebooks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we get those.
It's funny seeing the other side of it, you know, like the administrative side of canceling school and what goes into that, as opposed to when you were a kid and you'd be like, I can't believe, I hate them. Yeah. What idiots.
Oh, my God. God, though, as a kid, it was so well represented on the Goldbergs, where they were there, and you'd run down and you listen to the radio.
Radio, yeah.
But I mean, even as a kid, I could say, "Can you see what's outside? Did you look out the window?"
Yeah.
I mean, walking in snow trenches, like I felt like I was at Point Barrow, Alaska, and I'm like, why is it not closed?
Well, we had two schools that we needed to walk between.
Yeah.
Some classes were in different buildings, and like all of the kids falling and slipping on ice. And I mean, that would never happen
full
today.
50 million times.
Yeah.
And I was walking, Kathy. I was always at whatever way they set up the school district for that year. I was always at the furthest point possible.
Yeah.
So it was always, and then many times for some reason, I wouldn't qualify for bus service. So I'd end up walking
home.
I was the Catholic school kid in the neighborhood, and sometimes we would have school, and the public school kids wouldn't,
Yes. Like, yeah.
You just want to die.
Yes.
Because for kids, and we've talked about this. It's the greatest. It's like finding $1,000 in the couch.
You're right.
It's the greatest gift you can get, day off. Now, the question occurs, when do you find out about it? And the luxury I'll say the kids have these days that we never had. We had to get up, get fully dressed, and stand by the front screen door while the radio was on.
You'd have all that crap on.
All ready to go.
I remember it.
And that was it. You guys, not meaning in the room here, but the kids now get the alert more often than not the day before, the night before.
Well, we knew last night that it was going to be at least a two-hour delay. And then also, everybody gets text messages, phone calls, and emails now.
Yep.
Well,
so.
That's the other thing, too. The schools are making a decision the night before, okay, we'll do a two-hour delay, but they'll say, we will reevaluate at this, and they give a specific time, at least our district did and a few others, at 6 a.m. or at 7 a.m., so look for another decision then. And listen, it is good for working parents who don't have someone to stay home with their kids who,
absolutely.
Don't have a snow day.
These are things to be considered. And you can cause, by the way, also the more people you have out on the roads in a situation, school buses and so on and so forth, that makes things more dangerous.
But you're right, Kathy, about the working parents. And it's like, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah.
Stay home from work? Take my kid to work with me? Depending on the age of the kids, it can be a real difficult proposition.
Billy, you're coming with me to the munitions factory.
Right.
But the earlier they make that decision, then it gives parents time to try to figure out what they're going to do.
Yes.
Go ahead.
We have a superintendent of a school on the line. This is Greg. Hi, Greg. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So you are a superintendent?
Well, I'm assistant superintendent. I was just trying to sound cool on the phone.
You could have continued to lie, and we would have bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
No, you're still cool.
Yeah,
Do you want to say what school district, or would you rather remain anonymous?
Well, I'm lucky enough to be driving around the beautiful school district of Williamstown right now.
All right.
Greatest school district in South Jersey. I'm really lucky to work there.
All right, and what's it like when you guys have to make that call, when you got to make the decision,
We're really trying to work with the community to get the word out. So we started putting up on Facebook and everywhere. So I spend the first hour or two of my day posting it and then working with the comments on Facebook and stuff and trying to make everybody happy, which is really great.
How much of your job in cases like this is mitigating, people's anger and that sort of stuff?
Absolutely, because there's no right decision.
Yeah.
What happens is that the county, there's a call that the superintendent gets on, and they all make it together. And the comments are great on Facebook. It's hilarious because half the people are really mad, half the people are really supportive, and it's awesome. It really is.
So let me ask you, Greg, so why do you think our perception is that it's become a lot more erring on the side of caution these days, where they'll jump out of things that really – years ago would not have presented an issue, but now you're out ahead of it. Where do you think, or when did the decree occur that said we need to do it this way, and what do you think it was predicated on?
Well, I have a little bit of expertise in that. I'm also an attorney.
Okay.
So I would say that the liability and
all right,
keeping students safe, we want to make sure all students are safe.
So that's what we were thinking. Yeah, so you're dealing with a case. You want to err on the side of the caution because you have these buses going around. You have these things. And the more people are out and about in bad weather, you'd rather just take it and be safe. But as we said before, the students will end up getting those days back, usually in the summer, right?
Well, we have days built in, just like you were talking about with this Friday. There's always days built in most districts.
Mm-hmm. I would hate that, man. To eat up summer. I know it's hard to think about it when you're in, the winter days.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to my kids last night. And I'm like, well, the summer you're gonna have news. Yeah, but man, they had already made plans.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, it was
I know.
We got this.
I know.
We got it off already.
Honestly, I can't say I would argue against that. But from an adult perspective, I'd rather have a great summer's day available than a crappy winter day.
Yeah, but it's hard to see that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, kids.
Well, and listen, it was earlier, I think it was like November this year when we got that one crazy snow day. And then last year in March around Cardboard Classic time, the kids, it was that like disaster travel situation, trying to get the kids home from school. At least in our district, there were some kids that got home hours after they were supposed to. They sat on the bus that long. So if it avoids that, I'm up for it. Those kids are too young to be on a school bus until 7 o'clock at night.
And Greg, that's what you guys have to consider as well. What if the freak storm happens and we're stuck and kids are away from the home for hours and hours and people don't know where they are?
Where's my baby?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, absolutely. Well, and we are we keep our transportation open. Most districts are really on top of this stuff, and I appreciate you letting me talk about it. And I just want to say, Braves, go Braves, go Braves.
Oh, go Braves. All right. Brave.
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 Just be
brave.
Brave. Yes.
All right, thank you, Greg. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, that's
Brave.
Brave.
No, but it's spoken like a true Braves.
Brave.
And there was something I was going to point out. I can't remember what the hell it was about.
School, snow.
Yeah,
vehicles.
Snows.
The Yeti, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was that one time where we did have a Yeti attack.
Do you remember that footage? Just a couple days ago, I showed you the footage, the definitive footage of the Sasquatch spotted in Utah.
Yeah. It was only
the guy on a hill.
A mile away. Yeah. let me go to some other calls here. I'm going to go to... this would suck. This has happened before. Hey, John, you're on the air. Good morning.
I've had people fist bump me.
Nice. What's up, bud?
Oh, man, I graduated in 2000 from Tulpehockin. That's, like, northern Berks County.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And, like, more cows than people. So we had one day, it was, like, 5 inches of ground, like, on the ground.
Yeah.
Snow, and I get my buddy's Geo Prism, okay? Great vehicle in the snow. It's, like, 7-8 miles of back roads to school. We barely get to the parking lot. There's the principal in the parking lot going, "Go home!"
Oh.
And we're like, we're already here.
Yeah.
We are, like, so now you're going to send us back out. And it was like a turning point. Like, once that happened, it was like, no doubt, every time, at least 2 hour delay, and then you wait for closure. So.
Yeah. So, and to that point, John, so that's exactly why they do what they do. So when they appear a little too cautious, it's better to go that way than to have people try to get out in this stuff and get stuck in their Geo Prisms.
We all had crappy cars.
Yes.
So, like, you're risking life and limb to get to school and then to tell you to turn around.
Oh, my God, yeah. But so I can certainly understand it. And the,
thanks, John.
Getting that night before notice, that means you could stay up late.
Yeah.
That means you could sleep in.
Yes. Oh, my God,
that means you could have pancakes on school morning.
Oh, my God, yes. No. Steve, you're exactly right. Yeah. That's what it meant. That's
what it that meant. I remember that, too.
There was time for pancakes.
For breakfast.
Having pancakes.
So a lot of times I'd play this route. My mom would ask me to shovel the driveway. We lived on a hill that had a long driveway.
Ugh.
It wasn't like we lived on an estate. We just had a poorly designed house.
Mm-hmm.
So I would shovel the driveway, and you know, though it seemed to snow 19 feet every time when I was growing up. And by the time I'd be finishing it off or three quarters of the way, and if I slowed it up enough, the bus would pass before I couldn't make it to the bus. You know,
yeah.
Oh, that was my bus, Mom.
Oh no!
And, because I'm working so hard.
Uh-huh. Steve, for me and my brothers, it meant you got to watch the full hour of The Price is Right from 11 until noon.
Everything. Mm.
Then you'd get lunch.
Yeah.
Oodles and noodles. And then...
On my TV tray.
And then, yes, TV tray.
Oodles and noodles, not grilled cheese and tomato soup.
Oodles and noodles was the appetizer. And then usually peanut butter sandwiches on toast. And then sledding in the afternoon.
And then what happens is, because honestly, as you stop and think about it, then by like 3 or 4, you've returned to your normal schedule. There's nothing. You're not in any new territory then. Those are the critical hours to sop up like a sponge. So, for example, for us, I leave around 1:30 from work. You know, so the time that is when we get vacation days off or whatever, it's really for me to absorb late at night or in the morning when I'm here at work.
Right.
Otherwise, everything else is just the same.
Pretty
you
normal.
Know? Yep. So that's how you experience things. In school, those are the critical times.
Yep.
Nick, you made a key point when you said go sledding, because we would go sledding, we'd play in the snow, my dad would build us igloos. There's not even enough snow outside for the kids to go out and play in it.
No frolicking today.
Yeah.
We would spend all day armoring up and getting our weapons ready for the snowball fight that happens after dinner. So, I mean, you would spend hours just making snowballs and snowball forts.
Okay.
Right?
Well,
it was one side of the street always versus the other side of the street.
There were those times when you would get a profound snow that would give you, you knew you had a couple days.
Yeah.
And then that therein was like a vacation, but when it was just a day, you didn't have enough time to really stage a massive snowball war.
We had a long driveway, but we never had to shovel it. But that's okay because our sidewalk was all brick. That's the worst thing to shovel.
Oh my God!
So Casey, we just replaced our brick, and so when we bought the house, our house in Mount Airy, it was a brick walkway in the back. There's no
way.
You might as well just go out with a toothbrush and rub the snow off each separate brick. Because you can't shovel it.
You can't.
How come you didn't have to shovel your driveway?
We just didn't. It's not that we didn't have to. We just didn't.
But who did?
Nobody. We just drove on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that was required, man. Like, and
hey, if it's flat, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Mine has an incline to it. You have to shovel it.
So
you won't make it. I mean, and it's very slight, but you could pull in and get stuck in the driveway. So
ours was a bit of a hill, and if you didn't shovel it, Preston, you would drive off onto the lawn.
Yeah, yeah. Ours was not a hill at all, and so but
more power to
him. And then also, it wasn't until like later on in life that we actually had the driveway re-hardened, surfaced, and all that. But it was all like wonky and divity and stuff like that. So who would want to shovel that?
Right, Kathy, your dad would build igloos for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and he would make it look like it was like little ice bricks around it. Yeah. I mean, you
really?
Guys know my
dad.
Oh, yeah. He would build slides for us in the front yard. Yeah,
wow.
He was like...
Anything for my little girl.
Seriously, 100%.
She tells me to do it, and I do it. Is it warm enough in there for you, sweetie?
Oh, yeah.
I'll go make you lunch.
It was
That's
awesome.
My little girl.
All the kids in the neighborhood would come to our house because he would make, like, you know... snow slides and everything in the front lawn.
Wow.
So all the kids would come and play in our lawn.
That's pretty cool.
Press, is there a hill that you guys can walk to sled?
Not, well, yeah. I mean, I live on a golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's loads of hills out there. But the really big one, they shut down. Bergie Hill, you can't go on there anymore. Kid died a few years ago on there, so it was terrible.
Oh, wow.
They don't, will they let you onto the golf course to go?
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
will.
Sure.
Doesn't that F up the turf?
No, not when it's snow.
Okay.
No, there's plenty of spots to go.
The better the hill, though, the worse it is to walk up it after.
Yeah, yeah, you got to consider that. Yep. You got to consider the walk back up.
We have a really, really great hill that I can walk to on Paxson Hollows golf course. But man,
coming back up.
There's not even enough Right? Is there enough out there?
No.
For that?
No. I mean, you could.
Yesterday there was.
You could. I mean, I've seen my kids try it, and it's mostly grass, and you can slide a little bit.
You get a few runs in.
So
it's not that fun.
So Preston, yesterday I went in. I did the endoscopy. I had the little checkup. Propofol. You know, they give you. They're over. By the way, over at Penn, they're awesome. Everyone who took care of me, thank you so much. But it was a little delirious from the propofol. Went back. I said, you know what? I took out the snow blower for like an inch and a half.
Why not?
Yeah.
By the way, I'm getting some texts in and people are saying that it's icy in some spots, especially Trenton, New Jersey. I'm seeing a few texts coming. Nick, have you seen those? It's really icy.
Yeah. I mean,
so Jersey's really getting hit a little bit harder than like where we are.
And the caller who called in from Williamstown School District, which, by the way, their mascot is the Braves. So yes. I apologize for my snarky comment.
No, we just couldn't hear it.
Yeah. Go Braves. Brave. That's from that area. Yeah. Brave.
Okay. Keep Courage. In mind, you know, there are some areas that do need to have school called off, and that's the story with that. Case, we got to wrap up. I can't talk to this caller on line one.
You have time to talk to that person.
All right, let me get one more
another school official?
Yeah, it's a school official. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's up,
what school?
The school of hard knocks.
Hi, Gary.
Hello, Preston. Hello, Shotgun Steve. Hello, Sweet Tea. Hello, Nick. And hello, Casey. Hey, how you doing, Dad?
Dad?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All right. Hey, I'm good, son.
Hey, I had to tell you guys, when I was a kid growing up, we had this a golf course. It's called the Nutcracker. And we would all go up the Nutcracker and go sledding and drink and start a bonfire.
When you're like seven. Mm-hmm. All right.
You know what? We have the best. We have the best hill in Philadelphia. It's
explains a lot, really.
So, Gary, where is this Nutcracker hill? On the Nutcracker? Where is the Nutcracker?
What golf course?
Judiata Golf Course.
Okay, that's right.
You know, where they have the pro-am.
Yeah.
And they have so many hills, when you land, you bust your nuts.
Yeah?
I figured it had something to do with that, yeah.
There's
so,
a few people in this world that I just can't imagine as children. Steve, you're one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Gary's another.
The shorter the sled, the faster you went, and the higher you went, and you come down, and that's all she wrote.
That's my new sitcom, Lil Gary.
Hey, I'll see you guys tomorrow morning.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Why?
Because he's coming down to...
for my birthday.
Oh, it's your birthday tomorrow?
It was Friday. I'm going to come in tomorrow. I'm having a big birthday party.
Have you prearranged with Nick?
It's everything's taken care of, man.
All right.
Is it really? Yeah, that's good.
It's all Nick, taken care of.
Do you know about it?
No. It's the first I'm hearing of it.
All right, bye,
Gary. We'll see you. Bring us some presents.
All right.
For your birthday.
Hey, I'll see you tomorrow.
Gary, can you bring some old childhood pictures, please?
Oh, I could do that.
Please, and remember... This is your dad speaking.
Oh, you know what?
You're not going to throw darts at it.
No. Gary, be prepared. I might have some lines for you to read.
If I come in tomorrow, can I get a case of beer, Plasmo, for my birthday?
Of course.
Wow. Very specific.
All prearranged.
Can I get a case of beer, Presbo, for my birthday? We'll see about that, Gary. All right.
Pre-happy birthday.
Thank you,
Preston. All right. See you later,
bye. Love and kisses.
Love and kisses.
Dear God. Who's that who's that man? He's a kid.
I am glad we took that call. All right, we need to take a break. We will be back in a moment with some bizarre file stories. Thanks for your calls. We'll return shortly.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Dave Joyce. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword local shots. Dave Joyce, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Before we go to the bizarre file, you want to talk to the realtor for the Bondage House?
Yes.
The 50 Shades of Maple Glen?
Yep.
Yeah.
She's calling in. So let's get to... Hi, is this Melissa?
Yes, hi.
Hey, how you doing, Melissa?
Good, how are you?
Good. So, we were talking about that house last week, and then we found out it was kind of a viral thing.
With the intent of getting viral traction.
Which it did quite well.
It did well, yeah.
And then we had a conversation earlier this morning about things that realtors or people who work in that business may have seen in their time. But a question, is this house for sale or not, Melissa?
Yes, it is for sale for $750,000.
Okay, so that price was
which is actually legit. I think a pretty good price for that. For what I was seeing,
the house is over 5,000 mm-hmm. square feet.
Yeah,
nice neighborhood. Looks really, really cool.
So, yes. What about the Airbnb aspect of it?
They're still doing the Airbnb for $750 during the weekdays and $2,000 on the weekends, and they even have like a 3-hour also increment for a couple $100s. I'm not sure.
You can rent it for that. You can rent it for 3 hours.
Yes, they're doing like short term ones now. There's so much interest since the house was listed. They're doing that too.
I can see why the neighbors are upset at that with the 3 hour turn.
Are they?
Yes, I was watching a story on the news about a lot of the neighbors are not thrilled about this, and I'm sure you know that as well, Melissa. Correct?
Well, there's only two neighbors in the street. It's a three house.
Oh, well, that,
So it's them and two other houses, and those two neighbors are upset.
People having sex in there.
Ashley, Melissa, did you know about this when you, did you know that they wanted it to go viral? Were you a part of that?
Well, what happened was they just had told me that this was the house they were doing Airbnb with and that everything had to stay the way it was. And so when I saw it, he told me he wouldn't change a thing. He wouldn't take anything out, and I had to work with the Airbnb showings. And I had to work with how it was. So I think most realtors probably would have put it up as the typical suburban home, left out the basement, and kind of just told people when they were going in to see it that this is what you're going to see.
Right.
But I thought I had to portray the house the way it was. So I put everything in there the way it was. I put all the pictures online. I named it the 50 Shades of Maple Glen, the suburban house with a sexy twist, all these things that were attention grabbers that I thought were good because that is the house that makes us different than anybody else that I've ever seen.
So that was that was your creativity that came up with the 50 Shades of Maple Glen?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Well done.
And then, thank you. And then I pitched it to Philadelphia Magazine saying, this is a different house. You should write about it. And they were totally on board about it. So I really thought it was going to be me and them. And I didn't really think that it was going to go viral as crazy as it did. I mean, I made jokes to people that, oh, I'm going to put this house on the map. But, like, I really did put this house on the map.
Yeah, around the global map.
Hey, Melissa, Melissa, there's an article on PhillyVoice.com by Brian Hickey earlier today. I don't know if you had a chance to read it or not.
I did.
I was going to ask if you wanted to add or comment on anything that Brian wrote.
I think it was a beautiful article. I think he portrayed the couple exactly how they are, such a loving and beautiful couple. And that, you know, they, people don't really realize that side, but that's really how they are, exactly how he's described them.
Yeah, there's a video attached to it, and it's a really interesting look into their lives and what they've been able to accomplish with this effort.
Yes. I mean, they're very smart, but, I mean, they did this place for Airbnb, and that I listed it that way.
Wow.
But, I mean, there's a lot of talk that, I staged this property and made it like what real estate agents would do. First of all, if I did think to do that, that probably would be more brilliant, but I didn't think to do that.
Right.
Wow. But you've done well. Melissa, slap on a mustache, and you're the new Tom Skiffington out there.
That's right, yeah.
legendary time.
Well, let me ask you just quickly, any offers on the house so far for purchase?
We have a lot of interest, but no offers yet.
Okay.
We still have people going in. They're still showing. But now with the snow, it kind of hurt us with the snow today.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. It takes the wind out of the bondage sales.
Well, it's...
Yeah. Well, it's hard to get in the house when you can't get in the driveway.
That's right.
Well, it's a lot of fun. No, that's cool. That's a little feather in your cap. So hope you move that house soon. Okay, Melissa.
Thank you so much.
I bet your business will increase now.
Yeah. What's your last name? So in case people are looking for a realtor.
Melissa Leonard from Coldwell Banker Preferred.
Melissa Leonard from Coldwell Banker Preferred. All right. Cool. Well, thanks for the call, Melissa.
Done.
We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. We'll see you later. Bye-bye. Wow. Okay. A little viral action there. Nice.
Wild.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, B-File brought to you by Dunkin' this Valentine's Day. Stop by Dunkin' and get heart-shaped bling sprinkled and cookie dough and brownie batter double-filled donuts. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Limited time offer. Participation may vary. Well, a woman in Missouri is accused of poisoning her husband with antifreeze, placing his body on a bed and setting him on fire so she could marry an inmate at the prison that she works at.
Oh, man.
You know what? I think it's time for marriage counseling.
Amy Murray faces charges in the death of Joshua Murray, who an autopsy said most likely died from poison. She faces charges of first-degree murder and armed criminal action. jailed in lieu of $750,000 bond.
She made it look like an accident.
She was having an affair with an inmate at the Jefferson City Correctional Center. I used to live right down the street from there.
Oh, boy.
Where she worked as a nurse. The inmate, 40-year-old Eugene Claypool, has been jailed for more than 18 years in the deadly stabbing of a 72-year-old man.
This has got to make single guys not in prison feel like so bad.
Right.
How's this guy getting women?
Exactly. Has anybody watched Escape from Dannemora yet?
I watched the first episode. Okay. I stopped to watch.
Yeah,
the rest of it,
I mean, yeah. It's not that similar, but yeah, pretty similar to this.
No, you're right. They had a relationship with a worker there and managed to finagle that into an escape.
Yeah.
Police in Indonesia have apologized after a video emerged showing officers using a live snake to force a confession from a suspected cell phone thief. The video.
Good snake, bad snake?
Yeah, I think it might have been what they've been doing, Steve. They were doing, Steve. The video shows a seated and restrained man being questioned by officers while a snake is draped around his shoulders.
I'm the good snake.
And its head pushed toward his face.
Jeez.
Police asked the suspect how many times he had stolen cell phones as he writhed on the ground and screamed in fear. Only two times, the prisoners heard saying, as another man rubs the snake on his face.
You like that, don't you?
Snake on your face. A voice off camera can be heard ordering the man to keep his eyes open as the snake is pushed towards him.
All right, bring in the monkey.
The unidentified voice also threatened to put the snake in the suspect's mouth and down his pants.
Oh, my God.
That's what? No.
Tani Ananda Swadaya.
There's a line you can cross in snake interrogation, and that's the line.
You're going to swallow what I give you to swallow. A police chief issued a statement apologizing for the interrogation methods.
It was supposed to be an earthworm.
After details of the incident emerged, the investigator was not professional, he said, in doing his job. Swadaya admitted.
They were supposed to be snake pictures.
We have taken stern action against the personnel, he said, though the snake in question was tame and not venomous. He also stressed that the officers involved had been acting on their own initiative to try and extract a confession and had not physically assaulted the suspect.
It was a police snake.
You mentioned monkeys. I think I have a monkey story.
Monkey.
Let me see if I can
find it. Oh, I think I know which one you have.
Find this one. Yeah, you probably do. But I think it's further down in my
I like this one.
List. Let's see here, man. I know I have
You have
it.
Such a huge pile of
monkey.
Bizarre.
Monkey. You're a little monkey, are you?
All right, yes. Zookeepers say a group of chimpanzees use branches weakened by a storm to make a ladder and escape from their enclosure at the Belfast Zoo.
Kerker, Kim, Chim Chim, have you noticed? The tree fell down and now we can escape.
A video filmed Saturday by visitors in the Northern Ireland Zoo showed several primates scaling a wall and perching atop it.
Well, any fool could see this.
With one walking down a path outside the enclosure. Zookeeper Alan Cairns said the trees in the chimps' enclosure have been weakened by recent storms, allowing the animals to break them and fashion a ladder to escape.
And they did, man. They you see them running right up, jumping the wall.
Yeah, he told the BBC they're intelligent primates, and they know that they're not supposed to be out of their enclosure, so they got back in themselves.
Gather around, boys. I've fashioned passports for all of us.
2 weeks ago, a rare red panda escaped from the same zoo when its electric fences failed. The animal was recaptured in the driveway of a nearby house.
So it's like Jurassic Park.
Yeah. We'll do one more story, and then we will wrap things up. Let's go with this one. This is kind of a nice story.
All
right. Nice ending to it anyway. A North County man who in San Diego spent 6 weeks in a coma returned home on Wednesday and celebrated Christmas in February with all of his neighbors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Ryan Kane went to the hospital with flu-like symptoms on December 10th, soon after he was diagnosed with pneumonia that went septic. Kane was placed in the intensive care unit where he stayed for nearly 6 weeks. According to his mother, Janet, she said his whole body was in paralytic state and was completely run by machines for 6 weeks. When Ryan was in the ICU, there were five other patients on a life support system, and they were from the same condition, and Ryan was the only survivor.
Only one that lived.
Yeah. She said one of the first things he asked when he woke up was, did I miss Christmas?
Uh-huh.
His mother said.
And then he was reminded he was Jewish.
No.
Oh, no. I became Christian during the coma.
He said, no, Christmas can happen any time of the year, and it's waiting for you at home. The Kane family lives on Christmas Card Lane, by the way.
That's in Christmas Cookie Cove.
And people all over San Diego drive to their neighborhood during the holidays to see all the decorations. And the neighbors couldn't think of anything better, a better way to welcome Kane home than to line the streets and celebrate Christmas for him, right?
Do we know how old he is? Is he nice, like a kid?
No, he's an adult.
Okay. 111.
What's that?
111.
111 years old.
This is the greatest day of my life. Especially since I'm Jewish.
One of the dozens of neighbors who lined the Christmas card lane said it's been an emotional experience and was proud of him for being a fighter. He said, "I'm so blessed with Christmas that Christmas is still here, and I hope that I never go back to the hospital again." So it was kind of
want to go back to the hospital again.
Story to end on.
You know what they say? Nobody dies in Christmas, guys.
Yeah, that's right. We had a funeral. Isn't that what your friend said?
Yes.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File for you. All right, we're going to take a break. Couple things. If you would like to win a free tattoo from a gentleman who is well-known in the world of tattoo artists, Clean Rock One.
Yes.
From Ink Masters and Golden Skull Tattoo in Las Vegas, text the word tattoo to 39333. You have to be available to be here Friday and get a Preston and Steve tattoo. So do that now, tattoo to 39333. When we come back, we're going to meet another awesome tattoo artist who is here this morning and has administered a tattoo to our listener, Jim. That's Chris Shockley from Ink Master Season 11.
That's awesome.
And we'll see how things went with those guys. We'll take a break, come back in just a moment or two. Lesson, question, and more is on the way when we return. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live. Call in weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Jenna Peppers on 93.3 WMMR. Don't stop. It is about 8 minutes after 10 o'clock on Tuesday with the Preston and Steve Show. A few more things to get to before wrapping up the program today. Word of the Week prize, getting close to winning that letter at the end of the show. Lesson question coming up in just a moment, but Kathy Romano has requested the floor. Let me go to her first.
So you guys remember about a month ago, there was a fire that closed Redstone that we talked about. They're actually reopening
today. Plymouth meeting location.
Yes, the Plymouth meeting location. They're reopening today.
Oh.
And they're going to do a meet and eat, and they're going to do some advertising on the station just to get the word out because they lost some business, obviously, when the restaurant closed. Mm-hmm. We all know that I've been starving since then. Mm-hmm. So, so they reopened today, and they're going to be open for Valentine's Day. So I just wanted to mention that for Mike and the rest of the employees that are at Redstone.
Very nice over there, by the way, in addition to the food is great, but they're nice people.
So if you have any suggestions on what you want for the meet and eat, let me know.
Cornbread.
Okay.
Their cornbread is really good.
I'll tell them.
I mean, there's anything on the menu I'll take.
What was that drink what you thought they'd made especially?
It wasn't a drink. It was they used to serve this at brunch. They had this
delicious
pecan,
oh my God,
a cinnamon roll that was out of this freaking world.
It was only at their Sunday brunch.
Yep. And I'm sitting there. We didn't order it. They come over and they place it on the table. I'm like, well, you know. So.
They must know who I am.
Oh, it's just, you know, they didn't want to say anything and embarrass me.
Did you get up
and
look around the restaurant? I'm on radio and they're big fans, so that's why I'm getting this. But please, return to your civilian meal.
Turns out everybody gets that at the brunch, so yeah. I didn't know that. But anyway, well, it's cool. I'm glad they're opening back up.
Yeah.
Business as usual was cool. All right, we're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away a 4-pack of tickets to join the Philadelphia Wings in honoring the military and first responders. Local Heroes Night is at the Wings. They're going to be playing the Black Wolves on February 16th at Wells Fargo Center. Question that I have for you this morning is, who will play Kim Kardashian in the eventual movie about her life?
It's amazing.
Yeah, I never would have guessed this person. 215-263-WMMR. Who will play Kim Kardashian in the eventual movie about her life? It's not real. It's made up from earlier this morning. Let's see if you know the answer. Call now, and while you're calling, we're going to do the Hollywood Trash.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR.
with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin'. This Valentine's Day, stop by Dunkin' to get heart-shaped, bling-sprinkled, and cookie dough and brownie batter double-filled donuts. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Limited time offer. Participation may vary. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Jennifer Aniston spent a lot of time with ex-husband Brad Pitt during her 50th birthday party, sparking rumors of a reconciliation. Pitt is reportedly actively wooing Aniston by arranging for her to receive a daily wake-up call from Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Woo! Debbie Reynolds. Legacy Dance Studio in North Hollywood was demolished over the weekend despite a last-ditch effort to save the local landmark. A sympathetic area politician observed, quote, "I know this building probably meant a lot to you if you're like a million years old."
Hey!
Doesn't sound very sympathetic at all. And finally, shoes from the Katy Perry collection resembling a woman wearing blackface have been removed from stores. So sources close to Perry saying that the shoes were never meant to be racist and were designed to complement her Hitler handbags. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll go to the phone, see if we can get an answer to this question. Who's going to play Kim Kardashian in the eventual movie about her life? And I am going to go to Brandon, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Brandon, good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Brandon, who's going to play Kim Kardashian in the movie about her life?
Liam Neeson.
Second. We'll get your info, and we're going to give you a pair of tickets, actually a four-pack of tickets for the Philadelphia Wings, honoring military first responders during the Local Heroes Night. The Wings are taking on New England Black Wolves, February 16th, Wells Fargo Center, and tickets are on sale now via wingslax.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Brought to you this morning by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologists are going to help you hear your best. Info at salusuhealth.com/PEI. In its ongoing quest to disrespect the rock genre, Recording Academy left late Pantera and Hell Yeah drummer Vinnie Paul Abbott.
Oh.
Of the In Memoriam segment.
I totally forgot about that, yeah.
Of the Grammys, yeah, that's correct. And they also left off a few other people. Rock artist Ollie Herbert of All That Remains and Kyle Pavone from We Are Romans, both who passed away last year, like Abbott. Although the three were listed on the Grammys website's memorial page.
Yes.
One of the many rockers who called out the Academy for blatantly skipping the three on the telecast was Hailstorm singer Lizzie Hale, who was a presenter at the event. She wrote on Instagram, "I'm disappointed and disheartened that they were not acknowledged in the annual memoriam list this year. I'm very much aware that our genre is still not given the respect it deserves. This is why I'm involved. And that's why I was there in my leather jacket and horns raised, representing my genre, presenting awards at the pre-televised ceremony. If you want change, you must take action." Hill pointed out that Abbott was nominated for 4 Grammy Awards over the course of his career.
Yeah, how do you miss that?
Yeah, which ended with his death last July at the age of 54. Ghost frontman Tobias Forge has won another victory in the legal battle between himself and 4 former members of the band. So that's still going on, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
An appeals court has rejected the argument of the ex-members that the judge who ordered the dismissal of their lawsuit against Forge had a conflict of interest in overseeing the case.
Ha ha, you lose.
The four musicians appealed the dismissal with their attorney, Michael Berg, writing in court documents, "It must have been almost impossible for Judge Heinrich Ebold to objectively and impartially assess the probative of the information that Tobias Forge has provided."
Exculpatory.
Since both Ebold and Forge are members of the Swedish Order of Freemasons. An appeals court has now determined that the plaintiffs had failed to demonstrate.
I present to you my legal case. Exculpatory and pedantic.
To demonstrate an actual conflict of interest. In the decision, the court wrote that in Sweden, there's a constitutional freedom of association, which means that all citizens, even judges, have the right to belong to an organization.
It's all legal. Whatever. Ooh-y.
Yeah, he won.
I won, so I poo-poo in your face.
Nanny.
Aha. Uh-huh. I'm Cardinal Copia.
Yeah.
I am not. My nose was bleeding before, and
I just swallowed a little bit of blood.
Oh, is that what you
That's
left?
That's factual information.
Is that what you left?
That's why I went to the bathroom so quickly.
Bloody nose, I didn't know that.
Because I've been blowing it very hard, robustly, and the blood pours down my throat as I'm trying to make jokes. It's not very effective.
I never knew it got to that point.
I didn't even know this music had that in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's very cool.
Anyway.
Makes the poo-poo.
I saw the poo-poo in your face.
Foo Fighters guitarist Chris Shiblett, in a recent interview, said that 2019 will likely be a year of little activity for the band. They've been very, very busy.
Goddamn right.
Asked if the Foos were...
I'm just trying to spice things up.
Finished for a while after touring the 2017 Concrete and Gold album for the better part of the past year, Shiblett said, well, kind of. It's not a super heavy year. We kind of wrapped up touring for the last record, but we have some stuff. We have some festivals coming up later in the year, but he said for the most part they're gonna take it easy.
Do you feel as if you're stepping out on the tightrope every time you say Shiflets?
I do.
Yeah,
you got to be careful.
You got to be careful.
But it can be done. A mansion once owned by Lars Ulrich of Metallica is apparently on sale in Northern California for $12 million. The 13,000 square foot, 6 bedroom, 9 bedroom home.
13,000 square feet.
Bedrooms and 9 bedrooms?
Bathroom. Sorry, 9 bathrooms.
That's 15 bedrooms.
A short ferry ride across the bay from San Francisco features a recording studio, underground sport court.
Sport.
I knew it.
Sport court.
What's downstairs?
Sport court.
There's a pool and a sauna, an aquarium over a bathtub, and many other
sport
amenities.
Court.
The property sits on
sport court
on 20,000 square foot plus lot, and listing states that the sale will include an aggregate of 3 separate parcels totaling more than 2 acres.
This is an infinity pool that he has. It looks like in the back, right? Am I seeing that as a wall or is that this day?
I can't tell.
It's pretty cool. 15,000 feet. It's a. I must assume the view is very good.
Yeah. It's
unless you
it's.
Think?
Yeah. Well, look on the other side. You can see the bay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But on the side that where the camera's facing, it's a BJ's.
Oh, he's facing a BJ's? Oh, if you need stuff, you can get it there in bulk.
Yeah.
The property owner prefers property owner prefers to sell all 3 parcels in one transaction, but for the right price.
Oh, my God.
May consider selling them separately.
It's been a tough 2 days, hasn't it?
By the way, it has been. So he lives there. James Hetfield moved to Colorado. Kirk Hammett lives in both Hawaii and the Bay Area. And Robert Tuillo lives in Los Angeles. So they're spread out all over the place. Mm. And then one last story. The long wait is over for Heart. They're reuniting after a 3-year hiatus plagued by family issues. They're doing a 39-city summer trek dubbed the Love Alive Tour.
Yeah, they had they were fighting.
Oh, they hated each
other.
Yeah,
which was so sad.
There were some threatening things that took place. But the summer run takes its name from the band's 1977 track from their classic Little Queen album. Joining the Heart Tour will be alternating special guests, Sheryl Crow and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, along with openers L. King, Brandi Carlile, and Lucy Silvas. And they're going to be at the BB&T Pavilion August 2nd. I think our sister station, Ben, is sponsoring that event.
Very nice.
That's their summer bender.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting lineup because Brandi Carlile, who I just became obsessed with after the Grammys, she's a country artist.
Yes.
Is she?
Yeah.
She dabbles. She'll be a singer.
She's a dabbler?
Like, yeah. I mean, she literally, Pearl Jam has covered her stuff. She's really good friends with Mike McCready, so she crosses over into the rock world.
And she was on the Monsters of Dabble tour.
Yeah. They dabbled hard when they
came to dabble. Hey, Philadelphia, we're coming to dabble.
It's a double dabble tour.
The monsters. We're gonna dabble all over your face.
Monsters.
We're not even gonna let you clean it off.
Okay, and that's music news for you. Is that enough?
There we go. That's it. Yeah, okay. I think we've dabbled enough. Yeah.
Thank you. We've dabbled, and now we dibble. On to Tattoos Day. Yes. During the course of the morning show, there's been a tattoo that has been administered to a listener. His name is Jim, so we welcome Jim. How are you, Jim?
I'm doing well.
You're very, very quiet, Jim.
Am I?
Yes.
Do I need to get closer?
You can get a little bit closer there.
You go.
Where are you from, Jim?
I am from Delaware.
Delaware. And listen, you came on the right day because we have amongst us here in the studio a gentleman who was just on Ink Master Season 7. This is Chris Shockley, everybody.
Yeah.
How are you, Chris?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Nice to meet you. We were just talking. If you don't mind, Jim, we're going to chat a little bit with Chris, and then we'll find
so
out.
So shut up.
Your tattoos. Just sit there and shut up.
Sound no, like my boss.
No dabbling. No, but we were just talking about Ink Masters Season 11, which it just finished up.
Yes. Yeah, we just finished shooting the season finale in December.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's actually aired. So there's been so many iterations of this, and we've talked to people throughout the years that it's been on. But and we were talking about this off air. You start to lose sight of which season you're in because they actually shoot two a year.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they shoot two a year. You know, I don't know too much about it.
Yeah.
Actually never really watched the show until I got on.
There you go.
Like, you know what? They probably like that.
Yeah, they were pretty upset about that, actually.
They were upset?
Kind of funny. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think you see, with shows like that, a lot of times people come in. It's like the Real World. I don't know if you remember the Real World, but in the first couple of seasons, it was very cool. But then people came in and they were characters. They became, I want to be that guy who was in this season. So if you come in with a fresh approach, I think that would play better, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the way I looked at it, I didn't have a job at the time.
Yeah.
I just lost my job. I got hit up. So I was like, yeah, sure. Hmm. I'll do a show. So, I mean, I don't have anything else better to do. And right, I need to pay my bills. So.
How does it work? You guys all live in a house together? And,
yeah.
And like, what are the days like?
Stressful.
Yeah.
Stressful, to say the
long?
Least. Long? Yeah, very long. I mean, it's multiple days to, you know, shoot just to get, like, one good episode done. Tons of work, the flash challenges, they're stressful. I mean, this season it was teams, so you had to work with another group of people that you never met before, and hopefully, you know, do better than the other team.
So you have to rely on, yeah, because yeah. Normally it's your own talent and you're responsible for your own work. I have to ask you, do they, as with other shows, reality shows like this, do they keep you up as long as they can to get you sort of talkative and pissed off and agitated?
Well, there's certain little things that, yeah. I mean, I don't know if the producers did it on purpose, but like trying to eat anything, like they provide us with food and stuff. But when we're shooting, because you're working for like 5-6 hours at a time,
yeah,
like they'll order the food while we're working. And then by the time we actually get it, it's all cold and like.
Let me ask you also with that. So the people who come in and that you work on, What's their deal when you do tattoos on, you know,
the canvases?
The canvases.
Yeah. Well, they tell us like a little bit of what they want, and then the judges, they'll tell us also like, well, you have to do this and this. There's two or three different challenges that you got to hit on each tattoo.
Okay.
And then as artists, you got to figure out, well, how am I going to make this work? So, I mean, for me, it wasn't too bad just because I've worked in a walk-in shop for the past 8 years.
Right.
So, that's just daily life.
Standard stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you have to do all sorts of different styles and,
oh, yeah.
and all that.
Might be outside of your comfort zone, too,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But you're fairly young. I mean, you talk about some of these guys that have been in the business for,
oh yeah,
you know, as long as you've been alive. But you're 27?
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, quick rise to prominence here.
No, I mean, I started out when I was 17, like 17, 18. I was in high school. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, but mm-hmm. I knew I didn't really want to work at a desk job. And
here you are.
Yeah, I Googled it.
I want to know. So
the work is pretty amazing.
Appearing on a show, and, you know, I think from what I hear, you would have gone further if your team didn't stab you in the back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how they stabbed you in the back. What, can you talk about that?
They literally stabbed you in the back.
Literally. Yeah, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Well, I made it to the top six. It was three of us going against each other, all on the same team. And we all had to do a color realistic bouquet of flowers. Now, I figured, yeah, I can do that. I mean, I don't really like doing it,
yeah.
but I can.
Yeah.
So I found a good reference, went off of that. Tried to do the tattoo the best I could, and the general consensus was that it was one of the best tattoos of the day. But the team, I guess they formed an alliance against me while I wasn't around and basically said, yeah, we got to get him out of here.
Wow.
Well, okay, yeah, so get rid of
the best guy.
The biggest competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That was on the team.
Rat
yeah, so.
Bastards.
But regardless, I mean, you're out there kind of getting your name and your work out there. So that was done. As a result, you're in the shadows of Philadelphia. Yes. You know, and I watch a ton of basketball, and their artwork is all these NBA players all over the place. Is anybody of prominence in the city of Philadelphia hit you up as a result of you being on Ink Masters?
Not currently. I mean, I've tattooed professional athletes before, mm-hmm. like before the show and all. I've got to tattoo like a couple like really awesome people.
Give us a who, if you can mention who have you done in the the NBA or anything?
Jim just raised his hand.
tattooed, was it Mike Daniels? I've been close friends with him for quite a long time. Well, most of his family, they all grew up like with us out in Jersey.
Right.
I mean, I tattooed him, tattooed a couple people on the Raiders.
Okay.
On, is it the Cardinals, a couple other teams.
Yeah. Nice. All right.
Nice. Excellent.
That's cool, man.
You look, I know we've never met before. You look familiar. Has anybody ever tell you look like somebody or that famous?
Yeah, I get that pretty frequently.
What do you get?
Now I get John Legend.
Okay.
That's it. You got John the baby Legend. Face. That's
yeah.
it. Okay.
But I mean, when my hair was longer, I used to get Corbin Blue.
Yeah.
Who else?
Corbin Burnson.
Yeah. yeah. A couple different people.
Okay. All right.
Funny. Yeah.
Well, let me ask Jim about the ink that you got. This is a really cool retro tattoo that you got. Describe that, please.
Yeah. Pretty much. I got the rocket on there. It's not done. I want to get flames and smoke going across my back.
So it's like a classic 50s sci-fi rocket.
Yes.
All right. And yeah. Based on any particular movie or any...
I just liked it.
You just liked it. Okay.
Right. And he has the WMMR logo on there, Preston and Steve indicated. So it's on the back of... It's on his tricep, essentially. So you want to be able to hold your arm up like this and then have the exhaust shoot across your back?
Well, I've got three tattoos now, and I can't look directly at any one of them.
Okay. So. Yeah.
All right. So why not?
So I guess it's for you guys.
Wow. Interesting. It's a cool-looking tattoo. You can really get that chrome feel from the shading off of it. It's really neat. What do you do for a living, by the way, Jim?
I make legs.
You make legs? Prosthetic
other,
legs?
Yes.
Oh, I heard lakes.
Custom medical devices.
Okay.
Do you? Okay. Yes. You have any factory throwaways that you do or any extras that we could...
factory throwaways.
I mean, couldn't we? We could, yeah, we anything you have.
Don't you have a thing where you try and get things in the mail without
yes.
packaging?
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. Okay, I'll
all right. All right.
I got something in mind.
Send us something.
I got something
yes.
in mind.
I didn't know you were into that. I know somebody who works in the field.
Well, like you know, prosthetic legs yeah. or something like that. Sure.
Yeah, okay.
We all can right. we can build our own killbot.
Yeah.
So while we're here, can I thank my boss John Horn?
Please
of
do. Yes.
Independence Prosthetics and Orthotics, because you know I got the email and it's like, dude, can I go? And he's like, go.
Oh, that's awesome.
Great. Good boss.
And I
right
got
now there's someone
co-workers.
Hobbling around because you're here.
Yeah. You know, so.
That's awesome, and it's very cool.
Yes, and I get to help people.
That's yes, cool. That's a very good thing.
Yep. Chris, you're kind of a free agent right now. I'm not working out of any shops, so you do like guest spots in other shops, and you do the tattoo convention scene?
Yes.
All right, so how can we find you?
You can find me on my Instagram, my website, or on Facebook.
Okay.
My Instagram, it's Chris Shockley Tattooer 2. I've been doing guest spots and doing conventions, like going through the convention circuit, especially through Villain Arts for, what is it, the past couple months now. It's been pretty crazy.
Cool. Or else just step outside and go, ca-caw!
Well, and you'll also be at the convention this weekend, right?
Yes. I'll be at the Philly convention.
Huge.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think there's going to be like between 900 and 1,000 different artists there. So it's going to be a pretty epic event.
So that's this weekend, the 15th through the 17th, Pennsylvania Convention Center. And you can go to villainarts.com and get it. And that's our buddy Troy at work.
Yes, very cool.
Wow. Well, listen, nice to meet you, man. Thanks for coming by here this morning.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Continued success. So let's hear it for both Chris and Jim, guys. Chris Shockley and Jim. And we will post all the information so you can get a hold of Chris if you want to on PrestonSteve.com and get some work done. We need to take a break, and as we are taking a break, I want to give away my last Dunkin' Donuts $50 gift card. We'll take caller number 21 at 215-263-WMMR. $50 gift card. Don't forget, try something new this Valentine's Day. Say it with donuts. New heart-shaped donuts, bling sprinkles, and cookie dough and brownie batter double-filled donuts in stores now at Dunkin'. Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin', and we'll be right back.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
On Tuesday morning, Preston and Steve show about to come to a close for us, and moving on with a gentleman who we have in our studio. I'll introduce him in just a moment. I do want to thank both listener Jim and our tattoo artist Chris Shockley for being here this morning.
Very nice.
And being a part of Tattoo Tuesday and Ink Master Season 11. Watch Chris on that. Watch his friend stab him in the back, his teammates. And by the way, yes, Jim wanted me to mention, who got the tattoo, wanted me to mention the 6B's social network, which he's a part of. A group of guys that ride motorcycles, and they come to the Camp Out for Hunger every year and help out. And they were here this last time around. They also just go around and help out in community events and people who need assistance and stuff like that. So really good stuff. So thank you for being here this morning. And now Brent Porter.
Hey!
Good morning, everybody. Hey, man. Day number two.
Day number two.
Of 2 weeks in the Pierre Robert slot.
Yes, sir.
And played some really cool Rush tunes yesterday, which
I did.
Awesome. I'm sure you have some other things in store.
Yeah.
But let's do the letter first.
On it.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter A, as in Apache.
Ah. Nice. You guys worked that out, didn't you? All right. We're going to give away a four-pack of tickets to see Disturbed with 3 Days Grace, presented by WMMR, Monday, February 18th, Wells Fargo Center. And you can listen to Jackson all this week for more chances to win and to qualify for the grand prize, which could be you doing security detail and escorting the band on stage, plus an autographed set list. Tickets are on sale now. Details, rules, and links at WMMR.com, by the way. So did you hit any slick spots on the way in?
It wasn't too bad.
Okay.
You know, it was more so rain coming from Delco, coming from my part of Delco anyway, down City Avenue. But still definitely some slick spots out there. You know,
looks windy out there.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
But, of course, everybody forgets how to drive regardless
of course.
What
of course.
It is outside.
So Bill Weston, Man About Town, is in the studio. He said it was actually pretty easy getting in.
Okay.
But floating around that 32-degree temperature mark.
I guess it depends on where you are, because like Kathy was saying, over in Jersey, they're getting some really, really slick areas. So
yeah, well, you look at it. So I'm looking at City Line here, and it's you can usually tell traffic, you know, density, and it's, it seems kind of light.
Yeah, yeah, looking down King's Grant here. I see a lot of cars out on City Ave, but yeah.
Who the hell?
Who knows?
Ah, hell.
So what do you have in store for the peeps, sir?
A lot of stuff today, actually. Workforce blocks. We're going to do the doors for Ray Manzarek's birthday. POD, because that's one Bill requested. Also, some Bush. And we're going to do a concert announcement, give or take, right around noon.
Ooh.
And double shots all day. Oh, and one more thing. I will have tickets to KG Elephant, Beck, and Spoon at BB&T. Win them before you can buy them.
Nice. All right. Stay tuned. And Brent's got it taken care of. So I want to thank our sponsors. President Steve Show today has been brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. Also, Armor Metals and Recycling for all your metal and computer recycling needs. Tomorrow on our program, we are going to go live on Fox Good Day. We do that on Wednesdays. We also have comedian slash host Sid Wilder.
Yes, she is really, really, really smart.
Okay.
I don't actually. She's hot, and I just wanted to say that she was smart first. But she's really, really pretty.
All right.
I'm not rewinding that.
Okay. So Sid Wilder will be joining us tomorrow.
She's really, 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 really smart.
And as we're leaving, you know what? I'm going to give away some movie passes. I love when I have the opportunity to give something away right at the very end of the program. So you can go see this movie, Fighting with My Family.
Family.
Dwayne Johnson is the producer, and it's Wednesday, February 20th at 7:30 at UA King of Prussia. Five callers, 215-263-WMMR. That's it. We're done. Ray John, have a great day. Music's over. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.